Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. LeBron James will return for an unprecedented 24th NBA season, but it won't be with the Los Angeles Lakers, as the team was informed he'll play elsewhere during the 2026-2027 season. On the diamond, the Cleveland Guardians lost their second straight when they fell to the Rangers 4-2. They'll play Texas again this afternoon at 1:10. Meanwhile, the Cincinnati Reds continue to slide after losing to the Brewers 7-2. They're now losers of three straight and will look to get right in Milwaukee tonight. Cover starts at 8 o'clock right here on The Fan. And Team USA will try to advance to the round of 16 in the World Cup when they take on Bosnia-Herzegovina tonight at 8 o'clock. This update is sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property? Call John Kozik at TurboTrack Realty for a cash offer today. 614-472-000. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Breakfast time!
Hello, welcome to T-Bone and Tyvis. Can I take your order?
Just want a little breakfast.
Hey, you want some crabs? Because I got some of them.
Get ready to drive through the intersection of football, food, and fun. Featuring producer Dylan.
Who are the five best rappers of all time?
Special guests.
Are you serious?
And you. Wake up.
For what?
It's time for T-Bone and Tyvis.
Wagwan! Welcome to an edition of T-Bone and Tyvis. T-Bone is in New York with Fish, probably stuffing his face. But Tyvis
this
is,
early?
Yeah, this early.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, T-Bone's crazy. They listen, hold on, let me set it up. I'm Tyvis Powell. I'm always here. We got Dylan that's going to keep us on schedule and make sure that we got a show when T-Bone comes back. And joining me, my brother from another mother, Joshua Perry. Hey, JP.
How we doing?
Hey, man, listen, we're going to find out because we got 3 hours to get through. I'm making my debut in the one chair. We're going to see how it goes. Uh-oh is right.
Yeah,
but yeah, buddy. Yeah, T-Bone was, him and Fish, they planned out where they was going.
Took the private jet.
Yeah, yesterday sending me pictures of sandwiches.
Did they go
whatnot
to the deli?
Yeah, that's what, talk about some, you can't make nothing like this. I told him that I personally could make them a sandwich that would taste very similar.
See, I disagree with that.
I got a panini press at the house and everything.
See, that's
we all out.
What you really need is you need a deli slicer at the house so you can slice the meat fresh. You know how they do it? You ever watch him at Jersey Mike's? It's
a
show.
But that's right? That's a lot. Cause see, now I gotta buy the whole thing.
That's right. That's right. Or you can make it. Have you ever seen the videos of people making the deli meat on social media?
No, I just go to the grocery store and just say, but I want it chipped or sliced.
You say, I need a pound of this.
Yes.
And a pound of that.
That's what I got at the house right now.
So you do that and then you build the sandwich and then you take the paper and you roll it nice and tight. And that's how you get the layers all smashed together.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm going to just do it my way where I go to the counter. Give me that. Give me a pound of turkey, a pound of pepperoni, some hot pepper cheese.
There you go.
Yeah. Got some chicken. I've been in this garlic herb chicken thing. Yeah, a little spice it up a little bit. Put that on the press and go ahead and have me a sandwich like that. T-Bone would die.
I don't do that anymore because we're balling on a budget over here. I'm on the pre-packaged meats.
It's where I'm
over to the meat section.
I'm supposed to be bad for you.
Went to Aldi, got some prepackaged chicken, cold cuts, a little bit of turkey.
Well, hold on, wait.
And some keto bread.
I'm not desperate enough to go to Aldi's, but
okay. No.
Wait a minute.
Fiscally responsible.
Wait a minute. Desperate. Okay.
Ain't nothing wrong with Aldi's at all. First of all. Secondly, you go to Bucky's and get a pound of jerkies. It's the same thing.
Yeah, that's an investment.
Wow.
Yeah. That's like people $15 a pound, by the way.
Half a pound.
You know what? I wanted to talk to you about something. So
before we get into that, you know my wife.
I do.
Madison. She said yesterday that this was a really bad idea, and she was worried for us.
Why?
She doesn't think we could pull it off.
Well, Maddie, you're about to be amazed.
Let me lock in.
That's right. We're going to lock in. But before we get to the sports topic, I want to ask you, because I remember Bobby Carpenter saying something to me a long time ago. I said, Bobby, why do you continue to work out like you do? And he said to me that the reason that he works out all the time.
Attention.
It's no. he said that his wife, when he met his wife, he looked a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
and he owes it to his wife to continue to look that way. I thought about that last night, mm-hmm. and I want to bring the question to you. Do you feel like that's the right thing to do, and do you want to live by that? Because if you do, I got a proposition for you.
Okay, all right. So do I feel like I owe it to her?
You owe it to Maddie to look like how you did when she first met you.
Not necessarily. Our vows basically said, whatever, wherever you're at in life, this is how we're going to do it. Okay, so I don't know if it's necessarily that I owe it to her. I would like to be a little bit more in shape for me, for her, for the family. But that also comes at a cost. Bobby Carpenter, 4 children. Lives at the Woody.
He does.
You think my wife is going to let me live at the gym?
You go often, don't you?
I go, but I go at times like if I wasn't doing this right now.
You'd be at the gym.
I would be at the gym. Guess what everybody else is doing?
Sleep.
They're sleeping. So it doesn't take away.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's the balance that I'm trying to strike.
Well, this is what we can do. If you are interested, we could do burpees in the break.
No, thank you.
What's wrong with you?
I didn't come in my sweating clothes.
Listen.
It's hot outside. It's hot everywhere.
Don't you want to walk back in and Maddie look at you and just kind of growl at you a little bit?
I don't think 43 burpees during the breaks today.
No, we're not going to do 43. We're going to do 10 to 15 in the break.
That's what I'm saying. Like 43 total. I don't think she's going to look at me and growl, as you say.
It happens over. Like you, somebody.
I'm here for two days.
This is not something that you just do one day and then that's
I'm
it.
Here for two.
Oh my goodness.
2 days. I'm going to walk in tomorrow. You're not going to see the difference.
You're not serious.
I am
about
serious.
Being in shape.
I am. I'm going to the gym. I'm probably going to do a fast.
You just like T-Bone.
I'm
going to
do a fast later this month. 3 days. I'm going to fast.
Of what?
Just water.
Oh, good luck with that.
I did it last year.
You are absolutely crazy.
I did it a year ago. No. It was great. I'm going to do it again.
Dylan, you want to do burpees with me in the break?
Not particularly. No.
Y'all, I hate y'all too.
Hate's a strong word.
We got a lot going on today on this show. We got to get into the Zach Werenski trade. Obviously, LeBron James have broken the internet again with all of where he's going. We got to talk about Diana Rossini later on.
Uh-oh.
And then one of the interesting topics is that we are going to talk about OSU recruiting later on, about how it's been impacted or if it's been impacted.
Also, ask Tyvus anything
at 7:30.
We're going to switch that to
Ask the Show.
Since ask Tyvus anything.
I will
host that segment.
No, you're no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
This questions that people got for you too. We're going to ask the show today. We're going to switch that segment to Ask the Show so you can ask me and Joshua anything. Hey, you know, I woke up at 4:00 this morning.
Did you?
I did. This for me is like game day. You know how when you're preparing for a game,
you get butterflies?
I was up at 4:00 and I was just going over how I was going to do this show, how I was going to start it, how I was going to get us in and out of everything. And then on top of that, my son woke up and I felt kind of bad because Lauren was like, I haven't slept since 2:30.
Oh, man. We have had a rough couple of days.
Really?
With Charlotte.
Really?
She's a little under the weather. She's got the liquid poo going on.
Mm.
Little diaper rash to exacerbate all of the feelings that she's already feeling. So yeah, I had a couple. We've been in the trenches.
Yeah, well, I ain't there yet, but they say that the baby switches around 4 to 6 weeks, and we're at the month mark tomorrow.
Okay.
Actually, he'll be a month. So we'll see how that goes. I think I'm a baby whisperer. Lauren don't want to admit it, but like I think I know Trace a little bit better than she does.
She doesn't want to admit it. I think I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think y'all just naturally have that bond.
Yeah. Anyways, they went to the water park yesterday and left me with him and... We were fine.
Where'd they go, Zumbezi?
No, they went to, what's that park? The water park by,
I only know Zumbezi.
It's off of 23. It's like the, it's got like, I don't know the name of it. Orange something.
Oh, yeah. Orange Township.
Yeah.
Pool. They got the big slides over there.
Right. They went to that yesterday and they left me with Trace and we were fine. We had a great time. I was fed him. He slept majority of the time. It was great, man. Now listen, this father thing, I know what I'm doing. I got this over here.
You got like a little daddy daycare situation
I wouldn't say that I'm watching everybody's kids, but if you need me, you know, to hold it down for a little bit, I definitely think I could do that. I'm definitely willing and capable of doing
that. So I'll tell you this about James yesterday. Maddie went and took a nap Maddie's got bad insomnia. She doesn't sleep. So, like, she'll, for example, she went to sleep last night. I was shocked. She'll go to sleep at like 4, and I had my alarm set for 4:03. So we would have just been up at the same time this morning. So she takes a nap while Charlotte's taking a nap. So it's me and James. James's new thing is Monsters, Inc.
Oh?
Loves the movie.
Mike Wazowski.
Yeah, and, you know, Sully, James P. Sullivan, the whole deal. So now he says, Daddy, go to sleep. And so I'll pretend like I'm asleep, and he'll go, And so we did that for a good half an hour yesterday.
And Maddie didn't like that?
No, she was just asleep. And so, it was how I was entertaining him.
So you was able to handle him and Charlotte?
Yeah, we're good.
Good for you, man.
We're good.
Good for you. That's how I am, too. All right, we got to take a break. But when we come back, Zach Werenski, it's the biggest thing that happened overnight. You probably missed it. He flexed his muscles. We're going to talk about it when we come back. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on 97.1 The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and happy Wednesday. A crash finally clearing up on our far east side of Columbus. We're talking over by Buckeye Lake. It was on that 70 westbound direction at State Route 79. That right lane now is officially back open. As you're approaching the metro, still not seeing any major issues. The only area of concern is in New Albany. Traffic really picking up on this Wednesday by 161 and 62. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.org.
Starting Saturday, July 11th, we'll take you back to some of the greatest comebacks in Buckeye football history. It's Buckeye Weekly, Saturdays at 1 p.m.
Hear the games on the fan. OhioStateBuckeyes.com and on the Learfield Varsity app. Go Bucks!
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
The extreme heat warnings go into place this afternoon as we are going to start off warm and muggy and then turning hot and sunny with temperatures in the 90s but feels like well into the triple digits. We don't get much recovery as we go into tonight with mostly clear skies overnight and lows in the mid to upper 70s, so make sure to check on your neighbors. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Catch the latest from the world of Ohio State athletics. Weeknights at 6 on The Buckeye Show. News, special guests, and everything Scarlet and Gray, The Fan. Both of these men love the Browns. Also, both of these men hate the Browns. If you know, you know. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
T-Bone and Tyvus right here on The Fan. Tyvus Powell, and I'm Joshua Perry in for T-Bone. And before we get into some legitimate sports talk, my wife was telling me that she wants to go to this Chris Brown Usher deal.
Oh, same. My wife got that going, too.
They're conspiring.
Okay, let me tell you, because have you seen videos
Brother,
of
this
Chris
is
Brown?
The reason why I brought it up.
Wait a minute.
A video just came up on my timeline.
I just seen a video where he did the first concert and he had some woman up on the stage.
He was humping her.
Yes.
Yes.
I told my wife.
I sent her the video in the break.
I told my wife right now.
This is why you can't go.
I told Lauren right now. I'm telling you, if this happens, I'm going to jail. We're going to find somebody. We're going to need a new host on this show.
The problem with that concert is it's a whole bunch of women who go in there trying to get chose, right? At both Usher and Chris Brown.
Is Usher still doing the cherry thing?
He does the cherries, which we had a whole discussion about this. I'm like, I don't even want you in there. But the other part is the dudes who go there, if they're not there with their girl to watch what's going on, make sure nothing happens, they're there for the other women who are single.
Yeah.
So you got this sex show going up on stage, and then you got a whole bunch of thirsty dudes that are in the audience.
But you know what they'll say? You don't trust me?
That's what Maddie said to me. And my response to her was, I trust you. I don't trust any damn body else in there.
I didn't know that they were like trying to plan this together.
They're conspiring.
Yeah. Like I said, Lauren told me not to worry about it because she said that her ticket was going to be so far in the back that she wasn't going to worry about it.
I mean, Usher causes breakups.
Yes.
Yeah.
Breakup.
Kiki Palmer and whatever dude
dating. Yeah. He sure did do that.
It's a shame.
If
you haven't seen any of the videos for the people watching and listening,
yeah,
please go look this up. It's Usher Just type in Usher Cherries
or Chris Brown.
Or Chris Brown. Yes. Concert period.
No, no. It's Chris. It's Take You Down by Chris Brown.
See,
that's the song,
and he's taking them down for real.
Yeah, he is.
and they're on the R&B tour right now.
Yeah,
Raymond and Brown.
Well, they definitely gonna sell out a lot. That's for sure.
They're gonna make a lot of money.
All right. Speaking of somebody that's trying to make a lot of money, Zach Werenski of the Blue Jackets has ruffled some feathers. I'd say last night it was rumored that the Blue Jackets and the Stars had a verbal agreement in place to trade Zach for Thomas Harley and other pieces, but Thomas Harley is the centerpiece of the deal. And Zach, if you don't know, he has a no trade clause. Mm-hmm. Well, he exercised that no trade clause and he vetoed the entire trade. Yes. So a lot of people are upset about this, but yep. First of all, y'all know me. I always seem to fall victim to the player side.
I'm always on the player side. Like, so people are going to hate this.
The reason that you even negotiate the no trade clause is for reasons like this.
Right.
If I don't think that I can be successful at the Dallas Stars and I don't want to go to Dallas.
Right.
I want to have the right to refuse that. I'm not mad at Zach, but my question is, how do you move forward with Zach?
So it's an interesting thing because you look at the reaction on social media and people are like, he has gone from potentially the most beloved player in Blue Jackets history to the most hated overnight because people feel like he's got these handcuffs around the organization. Like if you're his trade value is at a maximum right now in terms of him as a player. He won the Norris, right? Like we know what his resume is.
He still got 2 years left on the contract.
Right. So people are like, if there was a time, even though we don't want to do this, now would be the time. The thing that was always in the back of the conversation about what could devalue him was this idea of a no trade clause. Mm-hmm. So people are like, he's got him handcuffed. And I don't disagree with that. And so if he actually does end up playing for the Blue Jackets when the season starts, I think fans are going to be grappling with themselves about how they want to feel. And I think there are going to be a lot of people who are just off of this one thing alone. They're done. There are going to be other people, which is sad because I feel like too many people are like this that are just like, until he's gone, I'm going to embrace him with open arms. So I will be curious because it's going to be difficult to look at a guy who, number one, has basically made the declaration, I ain't going to be here. I really don't want to be here. But number two,
He still has not publicly said that.
Obviously it's going on. But the other part is, I don't want to be here, but also the best return you probably could have gotten for me, y'all ain't going to get it either. That's going to be the part where people are going to lose their mind.
That's where I'm at because it's like, you don't want to play for the Dallas Stars. Why not? They finished second in the Western Conference. They're a good team.
They probably can't get his buddy.
They would be one of the favorites to win the cup with Zach Werenski. So it's like, why not go to Dallas? If you don't want to be here, and the reason why is because you want to win Stanley Cups, the other teams that he's rumored to want to play for is Toronto. Okay, you're not going there to win a cup.
That's like the Yankees in baseball.
And then Tampa Bay. Those are the only two teams that we know, or we don't know.
Right,
it's
but
rumored
that, been
that he
rumored,
would
yes.
go to, and we don't know any other teams besides that. If he's vetoing trades to people like to teams like Dallas, I think the list is going to be really short. And like Joshua said, he's handcuffing the team.
So I've got a completely different
take. What
did he
need to just stay?
No. I've got a different
take.
Listen,
you either going to Dallas or you just going to have to be here.
I feel like, first off, I've said this in sports in general. The idea, whoever started this no trade clause, like the first team to agree to do that, they ruined it for a lot of front offices.
Well,
because it makes it so difficult to maximize trades, and I get why you do it, but then you get into this situation. So that's on organizations for saying that we are going to get to that place in negotiations because we feel like we want this player so bad.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, when you do that, you're giving the players power, and it's as fans, we hate, for some odd reason, we hate players having power.
I think
you think about it in all sports.
We hate them having this much power.
I feel like nowadays everybody that signs a big deal gets a no trade clause.
And that is a really unfortunate spot for front office. Listen, this is not to defend the front office show, right?
When you sign the guy, you don't think you ever gonna trade him.
Well, that's kind of the deal, but neither here nor there. That's on organizations forever agreeing to do that. You put yourself in this spot, I guess, is what I'm getting to, number one. But number two, like, people are going to sit here and they're going to get mad at Z, and I totally understand that.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking on Twitter, and hey,
we got somebody saying
he can't come back to Columbus for the summer, don't go to Columbus to retire, say he no longer welcome in the city.
We have to understand how we got here still.
And so you blame an organization.
If you were a competent organization, players like this wouldn't want to leave. And then you wouldn't be stuck in this spot where he's got so much power that he's vetoing trades and doing all this stuff. You wouldn't be this pissed off if you could actually win games. If you could make postseason runs, you wouldn't be dealing with this right now.
Then go play for the Dallas Stars.
No, but my whole point though is everybody's like, oh, we wanted to keep him. And then it's like, he doesn't want to be here. And then he starts, and now everybody's like, oh, he is the biggest villain in the history of this organization. The organization is the biggest villain in the history of the organization. Let's be clear about that.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but like, to me, honestly, I think this whole thing might have went wrong when they signed Bones, because after the season was over, I was a person that said I would love for them to have Bones, but a lot of people were saying no, I don't think he's the answer,
because he's not a long term.
Correct.
Yes.
So when you look at stability, we talked about this yesterday. Bone and I talked about this yesterday. Like, stability wise. Like, you're giving me a coach for 1 year. Like, there's no guarantee that Bones is going to come back after this season. He's probably not. This guy was retired. He came out of retirement to coach half a season. So now he's going to get a full season. After that, we're going to have to get another coach again. Yep. So, like, then I got to learn a whole new thing. Like, that's a lot.
Now, the Jackets are fumbling the situation because this conversation with Zach Werenski should have happened before they decided to bring Bones back.
That's totally true. Okay, I agree. All of us sat here and said, well, you know, how quickly do you feel like you can flip this thing if Bones is going to be your guy? Because you probably don't have a long runway.
You have a max of 2 years, probably 1 year.
But who was the
now
other?
This thing is going to be stretching out.
Did they have a lot of options?
I don't know. Coach? I mean.
Yeah, coaching wise.
You at least explore your options. It doesn't really seem like they did that. It seems like Don went to Bones and said, do you want to come back? He said yes, and that was a wrap.
Yeah, that's pretty much how. I mean, when we had Don on, he pretty much said that was how it was going to go.
I mean, at this point, if Zach's going to be vetoing trades, keep him for a year.
That's what I said.
And a year from now, his no-trade clause goes down to 10 teams.
Yeah.
And then you could trade him to 19 other teams that he can't veto the trade.
So this is the issue, though. And this is, I agree with you on that. But the issue becomes like, okay, so what if he gets hurt? Or what if he just starts playing like ass? And I know people are going to look at the upside, and we know what he is as a player, just won the Norris, all that kind of stuff. But the idea of wanting to move him now is you feel like his value would never be higher.
Right.
And so if the worst comes to worst with that situation, which it's the Jackets, could happen.
You can't.
You're not giving him away for a bag of chips in a year.
It's only two teams you could trade him to.
But the idea is you feel like you're missing out on his highest value. And again, it goes back to this no trade, which organizations, you did it to yourself.
I 100% agree with you on that. I think at this point, if he's vetoing trades, then he will be here for this season.
That's going to be.
I don't know if fans going to boo him or whatever.
Tomato, tomato, tomato.
But the thing is, he in a situation also where it's not like he can come out here and just sell. Like, he got to come out here and still play as hard as he possibly can to keep his trade value up, to make a Tampa Bay or Toronto want to trade from him after the season. So, to me, you're still going to get the best version of him, but he definitely ruffled some feathers with this fan base, for a fan base that he probably going to have to play for another year. That's kind of how I see this, and it is what it is. I have no issue with it. He's doing the right thing. I wouldn't, if I ain't trying to play in Dallas, I'm definitely going to exercise my thing.
Coach Beard's in the chat. He said, let's go to every game and make his life hell.
Wait a minute. The Jackets fans, they embrace you and they love you, but I definitely believe.
I think
the way that they be doing Elvis at times.
Jackets fans need to quit the team for a year.
No.
I think they do. I agree.
I really do.
Dylan, be quiet.
And I've said this about Browns fans too. I'd say every time to T-Bone, it's a choice It's a choice to be a fan of a certain team. It's a choice to spend your money with them. I think you should quit the team for a little bit and then see if things don't change.
Well, speaking of quitting the team, that's exactly what LeBron James did. We're going to dive into it in just 2 minutes. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on 97.1 The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Still not seeing any crashes around the Columbus area, but we do have more cars out on the roads this time around. That includes 71 in that northbound direction over by Greenlawn Avenue as you're making your way downtown, as well as for our friends over on the west side, for our friends in Madison County. Good morning to you. If you're taking 40 East, yes, a little bit slower. A 19-minute commute between 42 to 270. Definitely take 70 East if you can. Only a 12-minute commute out there. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Tyvus Powell is a legendary Buckeye. T-Bone loves to eat Buckeyes. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Win two tickets or two weekend passes to Sonic Temple Art and Music Festival. We don't know who's playing. We don't know who's headlining. We do know the date. Shout out to T-Bone, May 13th through the 16th. One thing we know for sure, Sonic Temple wants fan listeners to have first crack at the 2027 tickets. For more information, check out SonicTempleFestival.com. Give me a number, Josh.
How many tickets are we giving out?
Two.
All right, double it. Let's go. Caller number four.
Caller number four, 614-821-9710. Caller number four. We'll get you some tickets there. All right. Unless you was under a rock yesterday, the biggest news that happened yesterday was LeBron James told the Lakers to go on without me. I'm going to continue playing basketball, but it won't be in L.A.
But My son will have, said,
first of all,
he's a fully guaranteed
first of all, one thing we never going to say about LeBron, that man understand business. And he has set up his son to be successful financially, matter what. Because he could have made this decision long ago. He waited good until his son got his contract guaranteed to tell the Lakers, I'm out.
I used to hate nepotism.
Do you?
You know, this idea.
And then you had a son.
And then I had kids. I am going to be big nepo daddy out here. If I can help my kids in any type of way, I'm going to do it. I understand it. I don't like it for other people. I love it for me, though.
But first of all, Bronny is not that bad.
I agree.
He's actually gotten a lot better.
I always felt like that was actually the best developmental path for him. Mm-hmm. And he has gotten much better. It's not to say that he'll ever be a great NBA player, but the people who hate on Bronny were always going to hate on Bronny. Like, he's improving as a player for sure.
Yeah, he outscored the Houston Rockets bench in a playoff game.
Stop that, Dylan.
That's impressive.
Stop that. Anyways, so it's been reported. Obviously, a couple of days ago, we seen Draymond Green opt out of his contract. And a lot of people saying, does this clear the path for LeBron James? You know, he said that the Warriors obviously wanted to get LeBron there. If you know the history behind LeBron actually from afar has always admired what the Warriors were.
Yeah.
He's on his shop show talking about the one player outside of Bronny that he would love to play with is Steph Curry. So it has a lot of legs to it. Obviously, the Kristaps Porzingis kind of threw a wrinkle in it,
sure.
But it's still possible. You know, obviously, they can make the money work some type of way. So the top three destinations that a lot of people are projecting LeBron to pick from is the Warriors, the Cavs, and the Heat.
Okay.
I feel like he's going to Golden State.
So the Golden State thing, I think you have to put the context around this conversation with where LeBron wants to go. So his agent is very much in LeBron is chasing happiness at this point in his career.
Sure.
How do you define happiness? I'm not exactly sure. For a guy who's got a ton of money, obviously he's not there,
isn't he?
Yeah, allegedly. I don't know. I don't count his pockets, but it doesn't seem like he's out here chasing the most money, right? I'm not sure that happiness for him at this point is also ring chasing. You know, like, if
then what's the point?
Being in a situation you want to be in, playing with players that you want to play with, like,
okay, so you think he's going to Golden State?
Well, that might be the case, right? So
Golden
State would be the situation of, like, you know, this is an organization I respect, a coach I respect, players that I want to play with. If he goes the Cleveland route, like, this is home.
Well, if he goes no fan base will embrace him better than the Cavs.
Right.
He is like God in Cleveland.
That would tell you what the happiness is for him. It's like, this is home. This is the fan base, the whole deal. If he goes to Miami, it's like, these are deep relationships that I want to honor as my career comes to a sunset. The one destination that intrigues me that people have talked about, if he goes to San Antonio, he's like, I want a ring. Right. So this will be one of those things where I think the destination tells you what his priority is.
I truly feel like if he really wants a ring, it's better to get it in the East.
Well, yeah, I think.
Now, the Kawhi going back to Toronto thing is interesting.
Oh, he's running from the Rico.
If you missed. If you missed that, Kawhi Leonard got shipped back to Toronto. I forget who the trade was.
Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, Brandon Ingram and a bunch of first round picks.
Brandon Ingram?
Yeah. Brandon Ingram is like, he's a big could have been.
Yeah.
That's what he is. He could have been, he was supposed to be this guy. He's giving you moments where he's showing you he could be that guy, but it's never consistent enough and stuff like this happens.
Did you see the Pablo Torre conspiracy theory as to why he got traded back to Toronto?
Because
he don't want to
the tree people.
Yeah. So here we go. The current NBA Board of Governors is the he owns a stake in the Toronto Raptors, and they're basically saying that they traded Kawhi to Toronto so that he will be lighter on Steve Ballmer when it comes to when they're going to focus on the sentencing of the whole tree endorsement situation. That is what Pablo Torre tweeted yesterday and implied that that's why Kawhi is now a Raptor again.
Well, he said he's going to retire there. So, but that to me, that them and the Knicks is obviously the biggest threats in the East. I know Boston got their team going.
I don't trust them.
They don't have a big. So, like to me, like that.
I don't think Mazzulla can coach either.
Really?
I think
he's overrated.
I think they've got the best front office, one of the best front offices. OKC's front office, obviously, I think will take the title on that. And then because of that, they've also had really good rosters. But I think he's a mid coach.
Did you see Brian Windhorst screaming from the rooftops wherever he could yesterday that the Cavs could trade for Jaylen Brown? And then at that point you say, okay, LeBron, what do you think of the roster now?
So who you trading?
Probably Evan.
See, I'm not a fan of that.
Who else would they trade?
Donovan.
I guess.
Why not?
You could talk me into that.
Hasn't Donovan shown you that he's a number two?
They're weird isn't about Donovan Mitchell, mean? Though. They're like, Donovan chose us. So we have to choose him.
I know
it's weird.
I know it. But he's shown that he's a number two guy. And if he's a number two guy, like, it's nothing wrong with that. But, like, you and I had the conversation about LeBron coming back to the Cavs. If LeBron comes back to the Cavs, right, that's three guys that's ball dominant. You got LeBron, Donovan, and James Harden. Two of the three is absolutely nothing if they don't have the ball in it. James and LeBron will give you nothing if they don't have the ball. Donovan has learned how to work.
You didn't see LeBron as the best third option in the league last season? What are you talking about, Tyvus?
I'm with him.
Stop this. First of all, if LeBron comes back to Cleveland, he should be the number one option. The person that would struggle the most is James, because James literally, him and LeBron, they both go sit in the corner and don't move. And to me, like, what is that going to do? Now, if you're telling me James Harden is going to turn into a spot-up shooter and knock down corner threes, okay, you can sell me on that.
He'll do it until the postseason.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, the Golden State thing to me has legs because, as I was telling Dylan yesterday, like, LeBron is big on family.
Yes.
His son, one is in L.A., the other one's in Arizona. Missouri is still in, she's 10 or 11. She's playing volleyball. Savannah loves L.A.
Okay.
So he's not going to go somewhere without his family.
So you're saying he'd be a short flight away.
Correct.
Right. From everybody here.
Correct. Golden State, that's a two-hour flight, something like that?
That's why I'm confused he didn't stay in L.A. because of all those things that you just mentioned. I like Joshua's theory with the Spurs. I also, Dark Horse, I mentioned this yesterday. I feel like you and Bone just poo-pooed it. They were saying one of the caveats of him going to Golden State was if they traded for Anthony Davis.
Wait, did you see what happened with Anthony Davis?
Yeah, they said that they're not going to trade him.
Yeah.
So, like,
you think he's going to the
super
Wizards?
Dark Horse.
Wizards.
That would be Wizards.
It would be crazy.
It would be so funny. Because
it would be hilarious.
He's doing this to mess with Michael Jordan.
Yes.
That's all
you go to the Wizards. You play with Trae Young, who plays similarly to Kyrie. You got AD, who you're familiar with. You got AJ DeBanta there.
Did you just compare Trae Young to Kyrie Irving?
I said he plays like Kyrie Irving.
Bad hairline Trae Young.
I did not say he is Kyrie Irving.
I don't know about that. All right, listen, we got to go to break. I got to go do TV. But when we come back, a few Buckeyes was named to the All-American preseason, or the preseason All-American. We will tell you who they are when we come back. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on 97.1 The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Still not seeing any crashes around the Columbus area, but we do have more cars out on the roads this time around. That includes 71 in that northbound direction over by Greenlawn Avenue as you're making your way downtown, as well as for our friends over on the west side, for our friends in Madison County. Good morning to you. For taking 40 East, yes, a little bit slower. A 19-minute commute between 42 to 270. Definitely take 70 East if you can. Only a 12-minute commute out there. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
What's the best way to make sure you don't miss any of your favorite fan shows?
Oh, no.
Download the Fan app, silly.
God damn it, I knew that.
App Store, Google Play, or just scream right at your phone. Psst, you can also listen to Buckeye Games. Do it now.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Tyvus hates Girl Scout cookies.
I hate it.
And little girls.
And America.
I hate it, hate, hate.
Seriously, Tyvus, what the hell?
Okay, whatever this is, I already hate it.
You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Well, you're supposed to be listening to T-Bone and Tyvus. T-Bone is in New York with Fishy. Tyvus is doing television. So this is actually the Joshua Perry Show featuring producer Dylan.
Yeah, that's Tyvus's true passion is TV.
Yeah, and he tries to say he's not a member of the media. Like, he is
full blown
big media.
Yeah, especially now that he's one chairing it today.
I know. Look at him.
Did you hear after the spring game? Did you watch him do color commentary for the spring game?
So I was down in Kentucky at a horse race. So I had my phone on with the YouTube TV. I was definitely checking Tyvus out.
You see, when he came back, he said, "I got my passion back."
Oh, I heard.
Basically, just telling
I've
me
got
and
my
T-Bone,
passion back.
Yeah, telling us
for the
to
business.
Our face that he hates us.
Yeah, this radio thing has been a drag on my life. But getting in that booth, oh man, I'm back.
We're just
better than ever.
How much you love TV and hate doing radio?
That's not true. Listen,
that's what you made it sound like.
That's not
distinctly listening to that.
Not
I felt
what I
so
said.
Bad for these guys.
That's not what I said. What I said was, it got me closer to the game. The closer you get to being on the field, like especially something that you've done your entire life, it was the closest I've been to being on the field. Of course, I loved it. What's wrong with you two?
He got his passion back.
Oh my
goodness. Have you done sideline reporting yet?
And I have.
That's what you need to be doing. Apparently,
no, that's not as fun.
You're on the field. You're literally on the field.
But he doesn't get into the X's and O's. He can't give you the Y's.
Yeah, gotcha. Like, you just the guy that just, hey, we need an interview.
Yeah, or
go talk to that guy.
Number 37 busted his knee up.
Yeah, tell us about that. When is he
went in the locker room. He ain't coming back.
Like, that's not as fun.
I don't know. During that spring game, it really sounded like you were rooting for a 3-0 game. You just love defense that much.
Joshua, do you not love defense?
It's phenomenal.
Thank you.
I think so. I talked about this.
We're talking to two defensive players here. What are you talking about?
I talked about this during my residency here when you were out on paternity leave, but I feel like we don't have enough defensive voices in the booth or on sets for football.
JJ Watt.
Mostly it's quarterbacks and they're always,
Jonathan Vilma.
They're always talking about how guys are spinning the rock. Whatever. We need dudes that can tell you exactly what the defense did that made the quarterback look like a kid.
I actually agree with you. But the problem is everybody wants to hear it from a quarterback's perspective.
I don't
want to
hear from them.
A lot of people.
Them boys weren't in the weight room.
The quarterback. You know, because
they weren't in the trenches. They don't know.
It's partially everybody our fault, because everybody talks about how important the quarterback position is. So okay, if that's the case and this guy was really good as a quarterback, what was his mind? And people are intrigued by seeing the game.
You know
how
what
he
quarterback
saw it.
I want Sam Darnold in the booth.
But he's got other obligations right now.
No, but I'm saying,
don't rush him to the booth.
Give me that guy.
Screw, no, you know who we
screw
want,
Tom Brady.
I want
James Winston from the,
in the booth.
I don't want to hear from the greatest ever. I don't want to hear from the greats of the game.
Why not?
I want to hear from dudes that had to get it a little bit differently.
You don't want to hear J.J. McCarthy?
Well,
he had to get a different
I don't want to hear from the bads of the game either.
Oh, man, we're going to talk about him in probably the next segment where we get to Diana Rossini. But, Joshua, were you ever an All-American? Were you ever a preseason All-American?
Tyvus, come on, man.
You ain't never was on the watch list?
I was a hard hat and lunch pail kind of guy. None of that stuff was for me.
Wait a minute. I feel like I might at least... made like a preseason
defensive win. MVP of the national championship.
That had nothing
of
to do with it. That had nothing
of
to
course.
Do with it. I was overshadowed. I had another guy that was next to me that was All American.
I had a few guys overshadowing me.
All right. Well, this year they came out with Walter Camp Football Foundation came out with their preseason All Americans. Obviously, Jeremiah Smith, Austin Saraville, and Julian Sang. Well, Julian Sang are second team, but the other two were first team. To me, this was the one thing about my career at Ohio State that I feel like I failed at. Like, so before I came to college, I had a checklist of things.
A vision board.
Yeah, pretty much of all the things that I wanted to accomplish.
Put it on Pinterest.
The one thing that I walked away, I think I checked everything off. The one thing I didn't get was the tree in the Buckeye Grove.
What was the rest of the list?
I wanted to be a starter. I wanted to be a captain. I wanted to win a natty. The MVP was never a thing. And I wanted to get drafted. Well, I didn't check that off either, but that's a whole other story.
I think you and I had very similar visions.
And I wanted to graduate.
Yeah. And I wasn't MVP of a national championship.
Well, that's
I don't have a tree either, but I feel like we both did pretty well.
Yeah, well, at least you got drafted. You know, what was that like to hear your name called?
I was pissed because I thought I was going to be a day two pick, and so that extra sleep without hearing my name.
Were you a fourth?
Yeah, I was.
When it went early, so
but that's when you start clenching a little bit.
Oh, really?
When the day three starts?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Let me tell you when I start clenching. Round seven. Round seven is when I start like, wow, this is really about to happen. Then the sick part is, like, I got teams, like, calling
me. Phone blowing up.
I'm talking, like, round five.
Yeah.
Like, I think the first thing that called me was the Seahawks.
they were like, hey, buddy. He ain't getting drafted.
No, they didn't say that. And then the funniest one was this. It ended before like free agency period began. The last person to call or text me was Kerry Combs.
Oh, really?
And he goes, what do you think of the Cincinnati Bengals? I said, I love Cincinnati. I go to Cincinnati. Ain't got no problem with that at this point. He goes, well, stay by the phone. I'm gonna try. He was like,
wasn't his son?
Yeah, his son was there. He was like, yeah, why don't you, would you go there as an undrafted guy? And I'm like, y'all got another pick? You can still draft. What are you talking about?
He's like, no. That pick is accounted for. Okay? We're not discussing that. That is not up for discussion. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help you just in case.
Yeah, I'm just sitting there like, you got another pick. You can sure use it on me.
Kerry Combs. Yeah, love the guy.
Yeah, well, people look at him as a traitor now. So,
well, they can. Which is fine. I love them.
Also, back to this preseason. Preseason doesn't mean anything because, like, it's a lot of people with expectation. Obviously, we expect Jeremiah Smith and Julian Sang to be some part of a All-American team, whether that's first, second, or third team, because of where they are. But it's always guys that come out of nowhere. The one guy that I feel like is getting disrespected a lot is Bo Jackson. Like, they did the top, like, running backs that's returning. He's nowhere to be found, and I don't understand it.
It's hard. I feel like when you're evaluating running backs, the hard part is trying to figure out, like...
But he does everything, doesn't he?
I'm not saying that he doesn't do everything, but what do you value? And does that come down to, like, a system where a guy is really high volume and you feel his impact that way? Does that come down to a guy who's big explosive plays? You like guy who catches the football? Whatever the case is. And the point that I'm trying to get to... I think people look at running backs and they just say right off the bat, those guys are all a dime a dozen. You got one running back, you got most of them. There are a few special ones and the rest of them, you could just kind of slot them in from the number five running back down to the number 35 running back. They're all the same guy. That's how people feel.
Yeah. I mean,
so do you think he's a top five running back in college football? That's what I'm getting at.
Wait a minute.
That's what I'm getting at.
I don't know if he's necessarily top five. I said he can at least be top 10.
I think he is. I think he's a phenomenal player.
If this offensive line is better,
10 and 25 might be the same guy to a lot of people evaluating.
Do you think that because he's got to split carries with Isaiah West and potentially Legend Bay, do you think that's why
maybe
his numbers won't be as impactful?
Watching him, I think, is a strange experience because you see him hit the edge, and to me at least, I'm like, man, a guy's got an angle on him. And then he outruns the angle, but he
actually disappointed me a lot because he got caught a couple of times.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. He's missing that top gear sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that extra little burst.
Well, they say Legend Bay is supposed to be that deal. Well, so if he ever break, and I thought Isaiah West, when he came in, I thought he did a really good job. I think he needs just a little bit more wiggle to him.
Sure.
But he does a really good job of hitting that open field and also, you know, making those long explosive plays. But yeah,
The idea of having guys to roll through, though.
You like having different running backs like that?
Yes.
They've been doing it for
and I think it's the best approach.
6 years.
So let's look at Trey. Trey was always hurt.
Yeah.
And now you end up splitting carries between him and another really good back. Both of them are available to have big plays late in the year.
But it now is three of them.
Which is, I think, fine.
So, but that always is going to impact their All-American
status.
Which
is okay. Are you in it for All-Americans or are you in it for wins, Tyvus?
I'm in it for the greatest. Don't you, when you come to Ohio State, don't you want to be the greatest to ever do it at
Ohio
State?
I want to be the greatest teammate.
Did you not want to be Chris Spielman as the best linebacker?
I want to be the greatest teammate to ever do it.
Are you Tom Brady?
So if that meant that I wasn't the greatest ever as an individual, that's okay. Perfectly fine.
Okay,
we achieved the ultimate team glory.
Good for you.
That was what we did.
No.
You were out there just trying to make plays.
You know,
in the back end, you didn't give a damn about anything else that was going on.
What you're talking about is irrelevant. What is relevant is what Diana Rossini said, which we will find out when we come back. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on 97.1 The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
In New Albany, looking at a 6-minute delay if you're traveling 161 in that eastbound direction. It's just passing 62. And as you're approaching that Beach Road area, just a heads up for you. At least your northbound drive times aren't too bad. 71 north between 670 and 270 is only an 8-minute commute so far. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan
Console.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. LeBron James will return for an unprecedented 24th NBA season, but it won't be with the Los Angeles Lakers, as the team was informed he'll play elsewhere during the 2026-2027 season. On the diamond, the Guardians lost their second straight when they fell to the Rangers 4-2. They'll play Texas again this afternoon at 1:10. Meanwhile, the Cincinnati Reds continue to slide after losing to the Brewers 7-2. They're now losers of three straight and will look to get right in Milwaukee tonight. Coverage starts at 8 o'clock right here on The Fan, and Team USA will try to advance to the round of 16 in the World Cup when they take on Bosnia-Herzegovina tonight at 8 o'clock. This update is sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property, call John Kozik at TurboTrack Realty for a cash offer. 614-472-000. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Football, food, and fun. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
All right, so in the break, Joshua and I are having a conversation. We're talking about semi-pro. What you call it? U-37?
U-37. This is what they call it. I don't call it. That's what they call it.
Now, me and Josh has two different stances on this. Me, listen, if you still got that burning passion to play football, you play it as long as you want. You play it as long as you can. Because when it's over, it's over. There's no going back to
it. And
I
say, go to hell. And by the way, there is going back to it, apparently, if they've got U-37 leagues.
Gosh, these is people that have dreams.
Dreams of
dreams
what?
Of yeah.
They have dreams. What are they dreaming of?
They always wanted to be an NFL player.
They ain't close.
I ain't saying that this is the closest they're going to get.
They've got CFL. They've got UFL. They've got semi-pros you talked about. They've got arena. And then down the line is U-37.
So when I was in college, I did some OSHA officiating, and I got done with a JV game one day. It was somewhere, I went to Kent State, so it was somewhere up there. And I remember afterwards, a bunch of dudes in their mid-30s showing up with their pads and helmets, and I was like, what the hell is going on here? Because me, as a very, I would probably say I'm a very average athlete in the grand scheme of American society, I at 30 was like, it is not worth it for me to go play any recreational sport and hurt my ankle and affect my real life for weeks. That's where I'm at. I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I'm done with it. I'm not trying and affect my real life.
You better be glad I don't have the sound board up, because that's loser talk right there. If I have ever heard it. Listen, if I'm going to go out there and I can dominate, I'm definitely going to go out there and dominate.
You're dominating dudes that probably weren't even balling on JV.
That's their problem.
It's really crazy.
I'm out there humbling people.
And then the guy, they showed this clip.
All they're going to do is go tell their friend, oh, listen, I did this X, Y, and Z. Like, no, I want to dip that in the bud.
I saw this clip of this guy who catches a game-winning touchdown pass. And then he's laying, because they're playing on high school fields because they can't play in actual venues, right? No stadiums. They're playing on a high school field. He catches this ball and then rolls onto the track and looks like he died. He didn't even get hit very hard. But your body is not supposed to do that, especially as some dude. This dude, in no shade to anybody who does this for a living, this dude probably gets done with the U-37 game and goes and clocks in at the Amazon distribution center. Like, brother, what? Just but be listen, regular.
For the rest of the day, all he thinking about is that touchdown.
All he's thinking about is his back hurting. Yes. He couldn't stand up.
Listen, man, I'm sure they in decent shape.
Okay. What do you call decent? Are you in decent shape?
What do you mean by that?
That's what I'm saying. What is decent shape?
Could I go out and play a game?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
They obviously can.
You see the huffing and puffing going on.
Don't listen to Josh. If you play U-37, play as long as you can.
Don't play U-37.
Because when it's over, it's over. And it's time to move on.
By the way, I think it was Coach Beard said in the chat, isn't U-37 what Jordan Hudson does cheerleading?
Bill sees his happy ass up there with a grin on his face.
He'd be like, is that your daughter? No, that's my girl. Yeah, he out of pocket. Anyways, so Diana Rossini is back in the news. They have released the body cam of her. She avoided getting a ticket. Obviously, she was going through traffic and she was on her phone. The police officer pulls up, knocks on the window, says, hey, you've been on your phone, blah, blah, blah. What's going on? And she's talking about how she.
We got the audio.
We got to play it.
All right, here we go.
What is your team?
I'm a Vikings fan, unfortunately. That's it.
Can you see the name?
Oh my God.
Can you see? Look what I said to him though, just now. Go to the bottom.
Oh my God. Wow. Pretty cool.
I love the Vikings though. They're awesome. KS is awesome.
Yeah. He seems like a
good
dude.
Your quarterback sucks though.
Yeah. So he's got to fix it.
Listen, if T-Bone is watching, he's in New York smiling ear to ear right now over this. So apparently she's not a fan of J.J. McCarthy. And the crazy thing is, it worked. She didn't get the ticket. She showed him a text message of her texting Kevin O'Connell. Well, after I seen this, I said, she's done.
So
she's probably, as far as the NFL reporting thing goes, I think it's done.
So the lack of discernment, her judgment, she's got to be the least aware media person ever. So yes, she, regardless of her transgressions with adultery and all that kind of stuff that should be disqualifying as a reporter who's sleeping with a coach, should have been done off of that. The idea that now you're sharing your private text conversations with the police officer to try to get out of a ticket is totally insane. But I want to go back to what she said about JJ.
That he sucks?
She didn't tell a lie. Is number one. But number two, if people ever wondered what reporters and different analysts sound like when they're not on air, that is the conversation. Boy, this guy stinks. It's half of the group chats that I'm in.
Have you guys ever done anything similar to this? Have you tried to use your clout to get out of a situation?
Not at all.
I have. And it didn't work.
And
it wasn't me trying to use it. I wasn't even trying to use the clout. The guy recognized me.
Oh. Okay.
And so I leaned into it. And he said, Mr. Perry, here's your ticket.
Damn. So this is the only, I didn't use it. And it actually worked. I was driving the Tesla. And I was getting on the highway and the police was behind me running the plates. Obviously, it's going to show up as Cardale Jones.
Sure.
As soon as I get on the highway, boom, he pulls me over. And he comes to the car.
You're not Cardale Jones.
You know, the Tesla tinted out. So he comes to the car, rolled the window down. He's like, I thought you was Cardale. He goes. I ran the plates and I seen you the name and I said, no way this is Cardale. And I said, I'm just driving. He let me use it. I got to go to Cleveland, blah, blah, blah. Cardale didn't pay. He didn't get his sticker. So his tags was expired. So he was like, well, I'm not going to give you the ticket because it's not your vehicle. But when you let him know that he needs to get his tags updated, that was the only time that I actually, got out of something.
No, I was driving
and
back.
It's because they thought that I was Cardale.
I was driving back from Chicago.
Which tells me he gets out of a lot of tickets.
He probably does. And it was late. I got to tell you the urban story about this, too. It was late. And so I'm flying down 23. I'm probably, I don't know, 25.
Late to what?
Well, it was late at night.
Oh.
And so I'm flying down 23 and I'm probably like 25 minutes away from home and they get me. And so it was, there was snow on the banks, but it wasn't necessarily snowy, but they were like, oh, conditions, whatever, whatever. And so then the guy was like, oh, you played for Ohio State. I'm like, yeah, I did. And so we have having conversations and he's like, man, that championship, I remember it fondly. I'm like, I got the championship ring in my backpack. Do you want to see it?
I tried to pull out
all the stops and I still got the ticket.
You know what? Good.
What do you mean good?
Because you shouldn't have been doing, first of all, you shouldn't have been doing what you was doing.
Speeding? You've never sped before?
We got to go to break. did losing to Indiana and Miami change the way that Ohio State recruits? We'll talk about that next. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on 97.1 The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good Wednesday morning to you. Well, traffic really starting to pick up right now as many people are making their way out the door. That includes for our friends on the southwest side heading towards downtown 71 in that northbound direction over by Greenlawn Avenue, as well as 33 in that westbound direction over by Canal Winchester in our southeast corner. I will say, though, in this area on 33, getting a little bit better when it comes to traffic. It was a whole lot slower about 20 minutes ago. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
Your favorite fan shows are available as a podcast. What a concept. And don't miss exclusive podcast content like Austin and Burn. Listen on your schedule from anywhere in the world. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
The extreme heat warnings go into place this afternoon as we are going to start off warm and muggy and then turning hot and sunny with temperatures in the 90s, but feels like well into the triple digits. We don't get much recovery as we go into tonight with mostly clear skies overnight and lows in the mid to upper 70s, so make sure to check on your neighbors. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
Question from a listener, do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. The only contraband hiding in Tyvus's butt cheeks is a Kit Kat bar. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
Ask the Show coming up at 7:30, which is the next segment. Please jump into YouTube chat and leave your questions for me and Joshua, and we will get to them next segment. All right, Josh. So recruiting has picked up a little bit for Ohio State. They've landed some big time recruits, particularly in the trenches. Mm-hmm. And it had me thinking, okay, when you go back and you see Indiana.
Hold on. You guys got to say the guy's name.
I'm not about to say that man's
I'm not
name.
Either. Until I'm not somebody either. Sends me a pronunciation guide with a phonetic pronunciation, I'm not going to attempt. I don't want to butcher this young man's name.
I would even attempt it, but I'm not even going to do that because I'm scared. But anyways.
I am.
I don't want to mess this up, and I don't need this show to get shut down until T-Bone comes back. But anyways. I was thinking about Indiana game and the Miami game, and I thought about just in the trenches. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that we physically got dominated in the trenches. Do you think that those two games impacted? Because before this, we were quarterbacks, wide receivers,
right.
Maybe a big-time safety, some linebackers. But now it seems like Larry Johnson and Tyler Bowen has been the two guys that have really, they've really harnessed on trying to get those guys top talent in the recruiting class. Do you think it's because Miami, Indiana?
So I think the Indiana game was a little bit different.
Okay.
And it's partially because of what Indiana does in their defensive front. Their front seven is constantly on the move.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're just mauling you, pushing you around or whatever the case is. It's that they give you different looks and then guys just come free, mm-hmm. right? Like they're just unblocked defenders that you have to deal with. So
simulated pressure.
That's exactly what it is. A lot of twists, a lot of movement, a lot of simulated pressure. So I think that's a little bit of a different thing there. And I know it sounds maybe a little bit like a cope, and it kind of is, but like I truly do believe that they presented more schematic challenges than just getting dominated. And you can even look at the numbers. Like Indiana wasn't running it down Ohio State's throat necessarily, like 3.5 yards per carry, not their best day on defense, but certainly not a day that kills you. Miami felt like a little bit of a different deal. Like those guys were up there. They had some ass kickers up front and certainly exposed.
I mean, to be fair on the, when it comes to our O-line versus their D-line, two of their players went first round, didn't they? Akeem Mesidor went first to San Diego, right? I mean, excuse me, the Chargers, right?
Yeah, and by the way, their offensive line also had some really good linemen, too,
yeah,
right?
So what's the
bad a tackle go?
Yeah,
high.
The yeah. T-Rex arm. He went to the Giants.
Not T-Rex.
No, not Reuben Bain.
No.
The, Francis yes.
Mauanoa.
Yes. So they had some dudes up front that could cause problems. I think that is something that would open Ohio State's eyes. I would also open the wound a little bit and ask the question. Did you not think about this when Michigan was the team that was known to be the team built in the trenches for those years and the team that was dominating everybody up front? And if that was going to be the standard for how you would win national championships moving forward, then you would have to change it up. Like, I think it's short-sighted to say that it was those two games. I think in the back of their mind, they've always said, we need to improve, we need to improve. And maybe the opportunities didn't present themselves. Maybe the recruiting pitches weren't something that was hitting to the recruits. And right now, I think it's like certainly point of emphasis, but the recruiting is starting to match where the emphasis actually is as a program.
I think that they tried. You know, obviously, I was doing some NIL stuff. So I was there for some of those recruiting classes. So I can definitely tell you that they tried to hit on some of those big time targets.
Yeah.
They just weren't. And I don't necessarily.
But the emphasis was always there though.
Yeah. I can't necessarily remember why they missed out on
sometimes
a lot of
it
those
just
guys.
Doesn't connect.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think that if we're boiling it down to, oh man, Miami whooped their ass up front and now they're recruiting like this, like, I would say that would be a dereliction of duty on the coaching staff because there had been other times where they weren't the more dominant team up front. Well, they've been thinking about this for a while.
Well, one of the things with Justin Fry when he was the offensive line coach was he never got the top recruits.
Right.
But when they got somebody out the transfer portal, he can coach them up and they would be fine.
He developed some guys too, which again, I want to put this into context. That is the hardest position to be successful.
Oh, yeah.
Recruiting and development have to go hand in hand there. And I think everybody was wanting Fry to like instantly just got to flip. And it's like, that's just not reality unless you're getting a bunch of guys out of the portal. So all that to say, I think these guys have been thinking about it for some years now. And we're starting to see it come to fruition on the trail.
So why do you think nowadays players, high school kids are more lenient to coming here opposed to a couple of years ago?
I think number one, the coordinator that they have in the building right now, I think it's pretty easy sell of you know, this
Arthur
is a,
Smith.
Yeah, we want to mash. Mm-hmm. Like, this is a team that can be physical. We have a coordinator who is used to these heavy run schemes. Like, this is what we want to do. You mentioned the running back room earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We've got these younger running backs who are going to be really good players. Wouldn't it be great to become an All-American by opening up holes for guys like that? And then also, we've got this quarterback who you saw when he was clean. He's a really good player. We're trying to keep him there so he could throw it to this wide receiver who, when there's time, he can get behind coverage. I think there's so much that you can sell that is immediately visible to a recruit to say, yeah, I want to jump in on that.
It's going to be interesting to see this offense because for so many years, I would say since Ryan Day has taken over, we've been more of a 7-on-7-ish style team. You know, Urban was big on running the ball. That was his thing. But like when Ryan Day became the head coach, it's like the offense really opened up when it came to the passing attack.
Right.
And I feel like even the year when we won the championship, you still had, you know, Jeremiah Smith, Emeka,
no doubt,
Carnell, and all those guys. But those two running backs, Travion and Quinshon, was a huge part of why they were able to do that. To me now, obviously JJ is still one of the best players in the country. And you still got Julian. But is this the season that we actually are a run-first team? Do you think that we get there with Arthur Smith?
I think it's going to be a more balanced approach. And by the way, I think that's what they've been trying to get to over the last couple years. I have always been under the belief, and some of football has fooled us for the last few years, but I've always been under the belief that you need to have an offensive line that's really good and the ability to run the ball when you absolutely need to at a bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
You would like to be
part
in a place.
Of the plan to win.
It is.
It's like number two.
It is.
Yes.
You need to be balanced just generally. But we watched what Michigan did. That was a run the ball team. When Ohio State won it, that was a team, as you just mentioned, they could run the ball effectively. And then looking at Indiana, all Fernando Mendoza, all the hype that he was getting.
They ran their pee.
They ran that piss out of the ball. Yeah, they love running the ball. And I just think right now, and really forever to be successful, you got to run the ball.
Do you guys have faith in the run game for this year, particularly the offensive line that a lot of people were concerned about in the Miami game? A lot of people are looking at this as a strength, but a lot of people were down on the position group, and it's pretty much the same guys coming back.
But I feel like it's a tale of two halves with the Miami game. Like the Miami game, the guard situation, the right guard situation was everybody was on high alert for that.
Hmm.
And then I believe Austin got hurt at left tackle, correct? And they had to pull. So they at halftime, they pulled Austin and they switched to right guard. I think it was Ian Moore might have went in. I can't remember off the top of my head. But like the second half of Ohio State was totally different than the first. And even in the first half, like, the plays was open. The offensive line just kind of got beat on plays. If they blocked for just a tenth of a second longer and Julian saw it, people was wide open. So for me, it's there. I think that if you're going with that second half offensive line, you went up against two first round picks on a defensive line and was able to like pretty much neutralize them in the second half of a game. I feel like that offensive line had got a lot of confidence in it. And I'm confident that those guys, if they can do that to them, to a team that went to the championship game and was like a touchdown away from winning the thing. Yeah, that's a championship offensive line, in my personal opinion.
I also really believe that development is the most important thing for that position. And so if you're telling me that you have a lot of the same guys back who have one more year with Mick and one more year of going through an offseason, and one more year of maybe listening to some doubters and building a little bit of that internal drive. Because I used to read the tweets. I don't know if you did, but I did.
Yeah.
You got to get going a little bit.
I told everybody that when I got the hate tweets, I took them as love.
Okay, I didn't go that
far. No, you know why?
Why?
Because if you was terrible and they didn't care about you, they wouldn't say nothing.
Okay, but it's like because the coach who coaches you hard.
Yeah, like they see something in you and they expect better out of you.
That's
so like that's just their passion coming out. So I never took it as like an insult or anything. It's like I get it. Like I definitely need to play better.
I used to read all the tweets. I listened to the radio sometimes too.
Oh, you crazy. Now that I did.
I remember Common Man after we lost to Michigan State in 15. He was like, that Joshua Perry kid should never play football again.
He never said that.
He did.
Tebow has a famous tweet.
I know he does.
So
we work with people now who used to just poop on us, and it's all good.
Hey, it is what it is. I think, though, honestly, the best thing that happened for Ohio State last year was seeing two different defensive lines, two different ways that a defensive line can beat you. Mm-hmm. You talked about Indiana schematically drawing up things. Well, guess what? Our offensive line have that on tape. They can got a whole offseason to see different looks.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. When you're training an offensive line, like, the chemistry comes from having the same five guys see all of these different looks so we know how to pick it up. So now that they've gotten beat on it, the question is, did they do enough this offseason as watching tape, working on the twists and stunts and all those things and being able to pick it up? If they keep those same five guys and those guys stay healthy for the whole entire season, when they see an Indiana or anybody else that do those type of things, they know how to beat it. And then physically, it's what Miami did. It was just a physical game with them. Well, another year with Coach Mick, like Josh said, to me, that should have you right. And plus, one thing about them at the Woody, if that offensive line is getting beat, they take that personally over there. So Coach Mick probably.
And they hear about it every day.
Yeah, they probably was on them all offseason trying to get those guys ready. So I'm actually eager to see what happens. I do think we're going to be better at running the ball. I think that was the one key factor that was holding this team back. I mean, we went through all these running backs and it just never could get an answer. I don't want it to always be solely on Julian. Like, I feel like a lot of games was on Julian. Even when Jeremiah and Carnell wasn't in the game, the run game still wasn't quite what we wanted it to be, and it was something that we wanted all season. So it'll be interesting to see. All right, coming up in 2 minutes, it is time. Ask the show anything. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on 97.1 The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Cars still going really slow in New Albany. That's in our northeast side. It's 161 eastbound, passing 62. Closer towards Beach Road, gets really slow moving. But once you pass it, a whole lot better. Nothing too concerning to worry about out there. And if you're traveling from the north side and heading towards the city this morning, taking 315, only a 3-minute commute between 270 over towards Bethel Road. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your
family. Cooling. T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. Get to know your resident national champion. It's time for Ask Tyvus Anything.
Sponsored by Ramos Roofing. Reliable, local, built right. Request your free roof assessment today at RamosRoofing.com.
All right, we're going to let Dylan point guard this thing. Dylan, what you got for us?
All right, first question comes from Alex the King in the YouTube chat. Ask the show anything. Did Joshua ever have to save you, Tyvus, from getting in a fight or vice versa?
Josh, I don't know if Josh remembers this, but I remember an incident that Joshua got in. When we were freshmen, Joshua made a mistake. And he about died one night by Marcus Hall.
Do you remember? God. Do you remember this? I would prefer not to.
I'm sure you know.
Get into
but Joshua
one.
Almost got into a physical altercation with Marcus Hall.
I did.
He was young. He made a mistake.
We're past that.
I don't think he wants to go in on it anymore.
No, sir. Shout out to my guy, Marcus Hall. Could have ended me. Could have ended me.
That's one Buckeye wouldn't want to mess with Joshua. Yeah, I don't know what you were thinking.
Yeah, we saw. He had a little bit of a fuse.
That was an all-timer right there, Josh. He was hot.
He was heated.
And he had the right to be. I got it. I understood it.
I did, too.
Can't go into detail about it, Dylan. I don't want to rehash that one out, but just know Josh made a mistake.
I played the fifth. Do you remember that day where I got into it with Fick at practice?
Yeah, when you hit Jeffy Johnson.
Yes.
And you smiled at him.
I did.
So, Josh is crazy.
My biggest pet peeve in life is when somebody tells me that I'm wrong when I'm right. I hate that. It's actually super bothersome because when you have kids, they love to tell you things that are wrong and then just like swear that you're the one who's wrong.
Oh, I'll argue with my 7-year-old, no problem.
I argue too with the 2-year-old. So anyway, we're running this look. I think we're getting ready for Minnesota. We're running this look. I go, boom, whatever, tag off on the play. And Coach Fick's like, run it again. He's like, you're not in the right place. And so I'm huffing and puffing at this point, like I'm pissed. And so we run it again, and I smack Jeffy Johnson.
Yeah, you should have did him like that.
Bad. I was mad, bro. Jeffy, I was so mad.
Jeffy was a great scout team running back.
I was heated. And then I took my helmet off.
Yeah, was and smiling.
I smiled.
He was then, smiling at Coach
Pete. And then I went up to him smiling, and then I just walked. I walked away, and I took a knee. And Fick was like, I think I broke Joshua. I was heated.
I don't think I've ever been in a situation like that where I was like that upset.
I think you were a little bit harder to get to that point, but I think you were a little bit easier to get hyped up in general. But like I'm that guy where like I can go, and then like I hit that point and I'm just like,
but I'm with you because I'm my issue was me and Coach Ash used to always clash because he always thought he was right, and I'm like, dude, I'm out here. I'm telling you that that's not going to work. So that's how him and I got into it all the time. Oh, but it was never to the point that you
were. He was so particular. I need you lined up 10 yards off the ball.
He wanted to be robots. He wanted to be robots.
Yep.
Next question.
All right, Dylan. This is a quick one from Phil J. He wants to know how you get a tree in the Buckeye Grove.
You got to be an All-American. On anything, like you got to be, I think you could be a first, second, or third team All American.
But it's got to be one of the major publications.
Yeah. I had no shy.
Chris G wants to know what you guys think about football players TikTok dancing before games.
Go ahead, Josh. What did you think of the dance party that used to happen with CJ and Dell?
I think I had it when I was doing the rally. I had a clip that went viral because Awful Announcing picked it up. And in this whole tirade, part of it was TikTok dancing.
Yeah.
Anti.
Why? Why does that bother you?
I just feel like I'm for getting ready and like you can't be too uptight before a game.
Mm-hmm.
That to me feels so unserious.
I think I hear what you're saying. But you would agree that everybody gets ready for games differently.
Right, but everybody getting ready for games differently means, like, some dudes are like myself. I was listening to R&B music. Nothing too hype before a game, right? Like, some dudes are in there, and they're reading. They're doing different stuff. It doesn't mean that, like, a whole position group likes to dance.
That's their thing.
Too many of them.
Stop it.
Doing too much.
I personally, it don't bother me. It's like, it is what it is.
You about that new age life. Which, by the way,
I understand the young guys.
I'm the youth of America right now. We got issues. We'll talk about it later. How about that for a tease?
I don't have an issue. Like I say, they get ready for games the best. As long as they perform it, well, I could care less.
The dancing doesn't matter until they lose.
Why is that the first thing that you think of?
Because it highlights
it's different,
like,
than what you did.
Because it feels like it's not locked in. And so if you lose, if you win, nobody cares.
Joshua,
but if you
Joshua,
lose, it's like, oh, man,
wait
these guys weren't even in warm-up serious.
Joshua.
They weren't even ready from the time they stepped on the field. They're dancing in warm-ups.
Do you remember the conversation in the locker room before the national championship game?
No.
You don't?
I don't.
We literally said, this does not feel like a national championship game. Alabama was the championship
game. Yeah, that was true.
We were not serious about
this.
We
were serious. We were serious that we were about to have some ass.
Yeah, but we weren't like... locked in.
I was locked in on the fact that those guys weren't as good as the guys we just played.
And what happened? What happened in the first drive?
Well, you know, it's an early part of the game. It's a feeling out process.
Whatever. We were not.
Did anybody dance?
We were not locked in.
Did anybody dance?
No. Okay. That wasn't our thing.
I'm just saying.
That wasn't our thing.
I'm an old guy. All right.
Get off my line, guy. What you got for us, Dylan? What's next?
Chris G also wants to know what would be the best boxing matchup here at 97.1 The Fan. He throws out DeVere versus Tyvus and Joshua versus Bobby. I'm telling you right now, DeVere and Tyvus are not in the same weight class. So that's,
not even
that's
close.
Not
what's that supposed to mean?
It means you're bigger than him. That's what it means.
I would cut weight. We would have to do it. Him and I would have to agree on a weight that's like in the middle.
How much do you think DeVere weighs?
DeVere got to be like, he got to be like you don't think he's 200?
200 on the dot.
Yeah, I was going to say, like maybe 210 at the most.
We got to agree on like
he's
225.
He is lean.
We got to go 225.
See, here's the issue like with fighting Bobby is if it's supposed to be boxing, he's going to want to grapple. He's going to want to turn into wrestling.
That's a fact.
Right? So like we're not even going to do combat on our feet. It's going to be on the floor somewhere, which I'm not... I probably get ringworm mixing it up with him. So I'm not going to do that. But then it's going to get to a point where, like, if we got to go there, I'm biting him. Right? Like, at that point, if we're on the ground wrestling around, we did this during mat drills. I bit Stuart Smith.
You bit Stu?
I did, because I was getting my butt whooped. I was a freshman, and everybody's
What drill?
The towel.
The tire?
No, the towel.
The towel. Where you both got the hand on the towel. You gotta let it go. Yeah.
I was getting whooped. Mick's in my face. He's like, you're soft. Schlegg's in my face. He's like, you're not tough enough to be here. Everybody's cooking me. And so the next rep I go, I just bite him and he let go of the thing and I won. Right? I'm doing that to Bob. That's it. I'm not fighting fair enough.
You didn't understand the technique then.
No, I didn't.
It was the initial turn.
Yeah, I figured that out.
The hardest one was when you had to twist the dummy.
The bone dummy.
Yeah, that one was the hardest one.
Well, I ended up biting dudes because I was tired of losing.
You know what I'm here for? That means that you're willing to do whatever it takes to win. That's why you are a national champion. I like it. I wouldn't have did my own teammate like that. But I mean, then again, you did smack Jeffy, too. You just don't even care about it. Here you is preaching to me about how I'm not a team guy.
I am a team guy.
You up there doing damage to your own teammates.
Well, both of them are fine.
Well, is Stu a doctor?
Yeah.
What's Jeffy doing?
I don't know. He's fine.
Yeah, well, there you go.
One more from you guys, because I kind of want to know the answer to this, too. This is also from Phil. He said, ask the boys what their pre- and post-game meals consisted of.
You go first.
My pre-game meal, when I was at Ohio State, I always had some beans and pasta. That was like my
beans?
Go-to. Yeah. They used to have them green beans.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like a
You
want farts?
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
no,
like
no.
I thought you were talking about like a black green beans.
Like the Nancy Mason video.
Green beans.
From the barbecue
and
spot.
And I would get like, I think it was like some type of spaghetti type pasta, and then I get like a piece of baked chicken on it.
Okay.
And the green beans was because my grandmother was like, y'all gotta have some beans. So ever since she said that, I started putting beans on my plate.
What was your post-game?
Didn't they give us something for post-game?
Yeah, on the way
like
out.
Pizza or something.
Was all you ate?
I'm not a big eater.
According to you.
I'm not going to address that right now. All right, so I would do two of the fillets. They had the steaks.
Yeah.
So I get a couple of those, a chicken tender or two. And then I would have mashed potatoes and broccoli. And I would put a whole bunch of gravy on that part of the plate. That was what I would eat the night before. Day of the game, I was very much like you. A little bit of pasta, mm-hmm. A little bit of chicken breast. But I was an anxious player. So,
I kind of had the same thing.
I couldn't eat too much.
Did you eat the Uncrustable or orange
I'm
peel?
I'm allergic.
Did you eat the orange peel at halftime?
No, but I would eat
Pop-Tart,
Goldfish, and Rice Krispie Treats.
Okay.
Those are my two in-game. And then post-game, typically.
See, I ate nothing.
We would go to Cap City Diner if it was early enough, and I'd get a burger.
Must be nice. Big money.
Most overrated spot in the city.
Mom and dad. Not big money.
I guess so. All right. Josh has a beef with Serena Williams. He'll tell you why next. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on 97.1 The
Fan. Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Just outside Grove City in our southwest corner, we are seeing a crash at that northbound direction of 71 being impacted too. That's just passing 270 right before you're heading towards Frank Road. That left shoulder is currently blocked out there for you. Also for our friends on the west side, this is over by West Jefferson. There's a crash on State Route 29 eastbound that's right near 72. So expect some lane closures on this Wednesday. I'm 10TV's Brina Albizu with your
pizza.
Have you ever met a man who wins money betting on tennis? Enter Scotty Vegas. Join Scotty and Dave Biddle for On the Money.
Presented by Ohio for Responsible Gambling.
Sunday mornings at 9 on The Fan. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Remember the time producer Dylan said that Alabama should be in the playoffs and that Tyvus started yelling at him? Those were good times. And remember later that day when Tyvus punched him in the face? Oh, classic stuff. Here's T-Bone and Tyvus.
Did you know you can listen to us at home? No radio? No problem. Just tell your smart speaker to play 97.1 The Fan. It's that easy. Pull us up on the big screen and watch me and Josh debate for the next 2 days. All right, Josh, what is next topic? All right. Now, I am one of those people that I respect a lot of legends.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When people retire, that should be it.
No, but she, you know, if you still got that burning desire.
No.
Right?
You no, were just trying to 37 is okay. 37
is like, if you still have that burning desire.
No. I'm just saying.
What I'm saying is this. If that burning desire, if you got that, you should never retire to begin with. There is no, I'm going to take a break and then come back. Like, you just play throughout the whole thing. So my issue with Serena is she took, what, 3 or 4 years off?
I think it's 4.
And now she about
to Serena Williams.
Yes, Serena Williams. And now she's coming back. I just feel like you taking the attention from the younger people.
Did she leave when she had her baby, though?
Was that the reason?
I don't know.
She had a kid at 40?
I don't know if she came back after it and then decided, I'm finished. Here's my thing about it. The retire, unretire thing.
No, her kid's like 2 and 8, so it wouldn't happen that.
The retire, unretire thing, I don't necessarily feel bothered by that. You know, like if you...
Michael Jordan started this stuff.
Sure he did.
Although he was really suspended, but that's, go ahead.
Well. If you feel like you can still get after it and you want to do that, it's like, I'll make one last run, show up at the big events. Like, I think it's cool for fans. Like, I'm not as connected to...
Why is that okay, but you 37, eh?
Brother, this is Wimbledon and you 37. Okay, I'm just going to keep driving by that question. And so for me, as like a fan of Serena, like her showing up at these types of events, I think brings more of a connection. It gives me more of a reason to want to watch even after she is out of the tournament. My issue with this is I couldn't get Sudafed behind the counter when I was playing in the NFL for fear of failing a drug test.
Mm-hmm.
For what? I don't know. How does that enhance my performance? No idea.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't take the allergy medicine wanted to take.
I about failed a drug test. So it's funny. Ironically, I was talking to Josh and I was telling him like, yeah, I got this guy. This is back when the NFL came to my house to do my drug test, which Josh says you should never do.
Bobby told me. He said you never want a grown man looking at you.
While you pee
in your own home.
Whatever. But anyway, well, I wish you would have told me that because I would have definitely did that day. But anyways, I had just popped my Claritin D pill because I got allergies and I need like the highest version of Claritin. And Claritin D had Sudafed in it. So when Josh said, yeah, you know, you could, if you got Sudafed in your system, you could come up as positive. So I'm calling my agent like, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm about to fail this test because I just took the Claritin D. And it turns out like it has to be a certain amount.
Right. You got to let it build up in your system. Yeah. But the reality of the situation, I guess what I'm getting at is you can't take the damn cold medicine, but we're letting athletes take and also receive sponsorship from the GLP-1 people. And then they can go and compete. Like from a doping standpoint, like you can't take a water pill that makes you pee too much, but we can do that. That's my biggest question on this is like, where does the GLP-1 fall into all of these questions about performance enhancing and doping and all these different things like that? Clearly, I'll give you a great example. I played with DJ Fluker. You know what he was? Fat as hell. I'm certain a GLP-1 would have helped him become a better player. Where does that fit into the equation?
I see your point here, and I actually agree with it a lot, because if that was the case, it's a lot of people that struggle with losing weight. And if you're telling me you could just take a pill or a shot to lose weight and still be able to go about your day-to-day, a lot of people would do it. But the thing that makes it so hard and makes it so competitive is that you can't do those things and you still got to lose that weight. It's so many people at the Woody, so many linemen at the Woody, I used to be scared to get on that scale.
I know.
If they could just take a pill, they would jump on it with flying colors. So I'm with you on that one. It does give them but she's also 44.
I don't care.
What do you mean?
If you want to compete at 44, I'm perfectly fine with that, but I don't think we should be enhancing it. I mean, LeBron is getting up there. Should he just be taking all the steroids in the world?
Yeah, were you fine with the HGH getting shipped to Peyton Manning's house just because he broke his neck? Like, is that cool?
It was his wife's.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm not a fan of the cheating at all. I think nobody should take anything. Like, I was so nervous that
you could
I didn't
take water.
No protein. I wouldn't even take protein because it's like so many times it's like, oh, I didn't even know that was in there. Protein.
I like getting my protein back in the day from whole food sources.
Mm-hmm. I just got mine from the facility.
You know, like you just eat the protein.
So if it pops up, then I'm gonna just say, you know, I got it from.
This is Mick's fault.
Yeah,
you don't point the finger at me.
That's how I was. But yeah,
you remember when one of our teammates who was a walk on filled his whole backpack up with shakes, and he didn't get permission, and it became a whole. So he loaded. This was Nick Snyder.
Okay.
He loaded his backpack up.
Nick like a couple years.
I love
ago.
Nick. Loaded his backpack up with shakes.
Mm-hmm.
They see him walking out of the weight room. What the hell are you doing? Well, I'm getting some shakes to take home. He's a walk-on. Like, I just can't go and buy protein shakes. I'm paying for school and for this. Like,
yeah.
You didn't ask. We didn't give you permission. So they made him do like a million push-ups to get a shake after a workout for like forever. Like, he had to do like 100 push-ups to even get a shake. And he was on Dawn Patrol for like, I don't even know how long. Because they're like, oh, yeah, you're going to pay us back for these shakes. It was crazy.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I walk right over there. Davis,
take two.
Yeah, no, I didn't know they was that serious about doing it. All the shakes that they got in there.
Yes.
Like,
I think it was the principle.
Wasn't it a rule, though?
It was. The rule was to have a shake. And they had the different shakes for, like, you know, the lower calorie ones.
No, I'm saying, like, wasn't it against the rule to, like, give walk-on stuff?
Well, no. I think by that point, some of those rules had cleared up about what they could and couldn't do, right? Because I think in the beginning, even training table was a little bit of, like, a question about.
Because I don't even think they could get it.
Well, I think by the end, they were doing all that stuff with us.
Okay.
But I think it was more the principle of loading up a whole backpack and not saying anything to anybody, where they were like, you can't do that.
They should have had somebody, hey, go in there and get me like two shakes.
Well, that's what we used to do, you know.
Like, yeah, you got to look out for your
like
guy.
Theta would be like, bro, I need a shake. I'd be like, all right, I get you. You know, it's just, it is what it is.
All right, we got to hit a break. But when we come back, we got the huddle where Dylan will give us all the top questions in sports, or in football, I should say. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on 97.1 The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Well, some great news if you're heading towards downtown Columbus right now. We have some major ramps that are officially reopened after 2 weeks of repairs, including that 70 eastbound ramp to 71 southbound, that 71 southbound ramp to Greenlawn Avenue, as well as both ramps heading towards Mount Street, both 70 westbound, and that Mount Street ramp to 70 eastbound. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your favorite.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Dylan Gonzalez. LeBron James will return for his 24th NBA season, but it won't be with the Los Angeles Lakers, as the team was informed he will play elsewhere during the 2026-2027 season. On the diamond, the Cleveland Guardians lost their second straight when they fell to the Rangers 4-2. They'll play Texas again this afternoon at 1:10. Meanwhile, the Cincinnati Reds continue to slide after losing to the Brewers 7-2. They're now losers of three straight and will look to get right in Milwaukee tonight. Cover starts at 8 o'clock right here on The Fan. And Team USA will try to advance to the round of 16 in the World Cup when they take on Bosnia-Herzegovina tonight at 8 o'clock. This update is sponsored by TurboTrack Realty. Done with that property, call John Kozik at TurboTrack Realty for a cash offer. 614-472-000. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
The biggest questions in the NFL are answered right here. Welcome to The Huddle.
Sponsored by Advent. Go to adventknows.com because Advent knows when you breathe well, you live better.
All right, Dylan, what do you got for us on The Huddle?
All right, I feel like all three of us have been very interested in this Brandon Ayuk situation, and it was reported that the Commanders have little to no interest in signing him after he went online and, you know, had that video where he said, go Commanders, and this whole offseason he's just at odds with the 49ers, who he's technically still under contract with. So
What do you see happening in this Brandon Ayuk situation?
So yesterday, I'm sitting there and I'm playing Call of Duty. I'm playing with Sherm and Darius Slay. We run, name drop there.
Good job.
And we was actually talking about this situation, and we was talking about the Terrion Arnold situation as well. And it's just the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Like, I've never seen somebody like tank their own career like
this. Sure.
Like, it makes no sense. And the thing about it is, I still don't know why he's doing it. Like, he never gave a real reason to why he feels the way he's feeling and why he's doing the things that he's doing.
It's that radioactive field up there.
Whatever. And I was there for 2 years. And
I mean, case study right here. Stop it.
So, to me, this is like, almost, I never want to say, like, this is what you get, but, like,
I mean,
that's kind of what this situation is. Like,
I'm also
like, dude, because the thing is, so I was talking to Sherm about it, and Sherm feels that it stems from him not getting the targets that he was supposed to get in the Super Bowl. He felt like he was wide open, and because he wasn't seen as the number one option, they didn't get him the ball. And Sherm said, if you go back and watch the tape, it's fair to say that. But the thing is, he was mad at the organization, but he decided they wanted to trade him. Remember, like, a couple years ago, they were like, we're going to trade you to Pittsburgh. He said no, and he signed the deal. And once you sign the deal, all that other stuff is over. It's water under the bridge. If you truly felt the way you felt, you should have just took the trade. So, for me, I don't understand. I need him to come out and tell me exactly why he's doing this, because it makes no sense. They paid you. All they wanted you to do was rehab.
Come in the building.
Come in the building, rehab. You didn't want to do that. And nobody's seen you. Nobody's seen you. So, like, don't nobody even know if you can play the game anymore. Like, why would fans be mad at the 49ers?
All right. So, to take that a step forward, why should we care at this point? He's doing things that reflect a guy who doesn't take his own career seriously. I don't have the brain calories and the energy to take him seriously. So, I prefer not to talk about
it. It's a shame that he did all this Go Commanders, and now
that's really sad.
It's pathetic, actually. It's unfortunate.
Before we get to the next huddle question, so, you know, I've been recently retired from gaming, and you talk about gaming with Sherm. GTA 6 is probably going to bring me out of retirement. Can you get me in a party with Sherm to play GTA 6?
I don't even know if he played GTA 6.
You should ask him if he plays GTA.
You know,
just time. So I can say I played GTA with Richard Sherman.
I can do that.
Did y'all grow up on the game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You didn't?
No.
I kept a PlayStation. Sure.
A non-gaming household.
Oh, no. We kept a PlayStation.
We had books. No games.
We had books, too. You know, I never did the summer reading.
Me neither.
You know, miss me with that. You got to read this book and then have an essay on it when you come first day of class. Yeah. I never read the book.
Tyvus, you know my mom.
I do.
She used to make us, for 2 hours a day during the summer, sit our ass down and read a book. Every day during the summer.
What? And look at you now. You love to read a book.
I do. I really do enjoy books.
I'm an audiobook guy.
I like to read them. I have a physical hard copy if I can get it.
I read it.
No, you didn't. You listened to it.
I've probably read under 5 books for leisure in my lifetime.
So it's an interesting thing. That's because
my over under is 0.5.
It's an interesting thing because there are stats that are coming out now where it's like more American males have placed wagers on sports than have read a book in the past year.
Oh, yeah.
And the amount of money spent there.
Does audiobooks count?
No.
Okay.
And the other part about that, not to make everybody's morning stink. We got a literacy crisis. The kids can't read. The kids, right? They can't read right now. We are struggling with literacy. The kids can't read, but they can get on DraftKings. They can get on FanDuel.
They shouldn't.
They are.
Don't you got to be 21 to play
some? Well, Brendan Sorsby wasn't, and I know a lot of other people who were.
You know what? Everybody overlooks that part of the whole thing.
I'm just saying.
Speaking of Brandon Sorsby, huddle question number two.
Yes, a memo was sent to yesterday to all the NFL teams saying that the NFLPA and Brandon Sorsby will not be pursuing any further litigation and that he will be draft eligible for the 2027 NFL draft. So what do you guys think about this latest in the Brandon Sorsby saga?
I think that the NFL got away with something.
I think the NFL...
they got away because if he would have went ahead and sued, he would have won.
I think the NFL told him, you can sue and we'll drag this thing out and I will bankrupt you. That little NIL don't match what we got over here.
That's true.
So you can,
but he would have won.
You can take your medicine.
He would have won
and play in a year, or we can get down and dirty. It's your choice.
I think that this is what the situation was. You can go through with the suing, and you probably will win, but we will suspend you because Terrell Pryor got suspended. Jim Trump got suspended.
I think they told him we'll just bankrupt you.
Whatever.
We're
going to bankrupt that. Whatever little bitty
contract you get, ain't even going to be able to cover it.
They're going
to
do both. They're going to bankrupt them and suspend them. So he's really going to be had no money.
I think he was just ready to take his medicine.
You can just sit out.
Yep.
And when you get drafted or whatever next year, you're free to go. I think that was the deal.
Yeah, I mean, if Tom Brady didn't want to get into it with the NFL any further because he was worried about his bank account and paying for lawyers, I'm sure Brandon Sorsby would be in an even worse position.
I agree.
We're going to suspend you for a year. So let's just call this your suspension.
Also, I keep seeing, like you said, that, you know, TP got suspended, Tressel got suspended, but you know who didn't get suspended?
Josh Gordon.
Jim Harbaugh. He had stuff lurking with the NCAA and he didn't get suspended, but I think you guys are right, and it's like it was a neutral position for both sides. It was like you would probably win, but then you would be,
we gonna suspend you.
You would be broke and suspended.
Correct.
And so this was like a nice happy medium.
All right, we had a question number three. We got time.
All right, so we're gonna play the Diana Rossini audio from. So she told this story on a podcast about her getting pulled over and basically name dropping.
Talking too much.
Vikings coach. Yeah, all these podcasts are getting her in trouble. But I guess they finally released the body cam, basically confirming the story that she told. So here's the audio from the body cam of that traffic stop.
What is your team?
I'm a Vikings fan. Unfortunately, that's it.
Can you see the name?
Oh my God. Can I
see? See what I said? Look what I said to him about just now. Go to the bottom.
Oh my God. Wow. Pretty cool.
I love the Vikings. They're awesome. KSU's awesome.
Yeah. He seemed like a good dude.
Your quarterback sucks though.
Yeah. So he's got to get it. He's got to fix it.
What's the bigger story here? Her using her conversation with an NFL head coach to get out of a traffic ticket, or her just straight up saying that JJ McCarthy sucks?
I think it's
definitely the JJ part.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It is. But the funny, I don't know what the rules is for like police officers.
Right.
Like, is he allowed to do this?
Well, that's straight up bribery.
Is it
in that neighborhood.
Yeah, it feels like more of like an inducement than a bribe. but my issue with that is like, so if she said, like, I tried to FaceTime, but if you're texting a coach like, hey, I need some help, can you know, whatever, say hi to this guy, right? And they do it. Do you report more favorably about that coach because they got you out of a ticket?
Absolutely.
And then the flip side is if they say, nah, I'm good, are you railing negative that coach now?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why this is a story. Like, as a reporter, there are responsibilities that you should have. She didn't uphold not a single one of them damn responsibilities, to be clear. Okay, but that's part of the thing here for me is like, come on, man.
But it makes me wonder, if she was doing this for all these years, who else is doing it?
There's probably a good amount of them in there.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
the other
part that was wild too is that body cam footage was blurred out. Her cell phone was, and one of these reporters on Twitter asked the police department if they could unblur it so they could try to see what was on the phone, and they unblurred it for him, but you couldn't read it because the phone, you know, so gritty, the body cam. But yeah, I mean, like, these people are on her ass right now.
Well, I think it's over with for. You know who else? You know who it isn't over with for? LeBron James. It's over with for his time in L.A. But we'll talk about where we think he'll play when we come back. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on 97.1.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning and welcome to your Wednesday. Noticing two different crashes out there as you're making your way on 71 southbound, especially coming in from the north side. The first one's going to be the crash 71 southbound beyond Hudson Street. That left lane is currently blocked over by the Ohio Expo Center. We also have some delays really forming after this crash, 71 southbound passing 40 and East Broad Street. That right lane is currently blocked out there for you. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.
We at The Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's The Fan Call-In Show, presented by The Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
The extreme heat warnings go into place this afternoon as we are going to start off warm and muggy and then turning hot and sunny with temperatures in the 90s, but feels like well into the triple digits. We don't get much recovery as we go into tonight with mostly clear skies overnight and lows in the mid to upper 70s, so make sure to check on your neighbors. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Every time Tyvus laughs, take a drink. Just kidding. You'd be dead in 30 seconds. You're listening to T-Bone and Tyvus.
So it just hit me. I just figured it out. T-Bone is in New York. Him and Fish allegedly went to New York to help become better radio hosts and all of these things. But then I'm on the good old Twitter, and I see today is Bobby Bonilla Day. Know what that means? T-Bone is a Mets fan. He's there to celebrate this. How much he get every $1.193 million. That's the real reason why T-Bone went to New York.
Steve Phillips was the general manager of the Mets at the time they did that deal. And I worked with Steve when I was at Stadium. And he laughs about that deal now. and part of the reason why they did it was they had some of this, some of their money with this guy named Bernie Madoff. Mm-hmm. Never heard of Bernie Madoff.
Oh, yeah.
Big crook. Yeah. So, you know, they're trying to work around all those different things. But yeah, I mean, like, wouldn't it be nice to be Mr. Bonilla?
Do you think that you could defer payments?
Oh, yeah, I could.
Like, let's say, coming out of college, out of Ohio State, we didn't have NIL, so we didn't have money. You think if they said, hey, we want to give you, we'll give you $50 million, but we're going to defer it for 10 years.
So I guess part of that is, like, if there was like I'd sign that day and I get my first payment that day.
Let's say right now we give you $1 million.
Absolutely.
And you have deferred 19 of it. Sure. Or no, 49.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Could you?
My situation was a little bit different to yours.
So I might
need a little bit more than just one.
You couldn't. So if they were going to give you one today and then they stretch the rest of it out. And by the way, they're paying interest on it. I think they said 8%, which.
No, like you don't. It doesn't start the market 10 years from now.
But it certainly helps it grow. You wouldn't have been able to be like, I could take this, I can make it stretch for a little bit, and then.
So let me ask you this. So I'm getting paid the $1 million now, and I ain't getting nothing for 10 years?
Go find other somethings in that 10 years.
Like,
what are we talking about?
I don't know. I don't know. I got to go back to that time of my life.
So in Bobby Bonilla's case, he deferred his contract that he signed in 1999. He didn't get his first payment until 2011, and then he'll still be getting that $1.19 million until 2035.
See, and that to me right there, 2035?
Like, it's not even close to being over.
Oh, come on, man.
That's got to be the worst contract in sports history.
And the way it works out is you end up getting more money because you deferred.
What did Shohei do? Didn't he defer his money?
He did a deferment thing as well. I mean, that's all the Dodgers are doing now, it seems like. But yeah, Shohei's is the biggest.
But yeah, you get more money out of it because you say, I'll take it later. And they're like, all right, well, you know, we pay a premium on that.
Josh, I don't know. That's tough. It's tough to sit here and even think about it. I can't even lie to you. But you know, it's not tough. LeBron James saying, I'm done with the Lakers. LeBron James told the Lakers yesterday, y'all go ahead without me. Y'all do y'all planning, which they were realistically, they've been doing anyways. I had seen a report that they had talked to Luka last year, and they like laid out the plan that they have for him. It did not include LeBron James. So they kind of knew that this was coming to an end anyways. But LeBron James told the Lakers yesterday, go ahead, plan without me. I'm looking elsewhere. Now, he didn't specifically say where he wanted to go. He actually told Rich Paul to go out and find him the best deal. Go listen to everybody and then report back to me with the best offers. Everybody thinks that those offers will wind up with three teams, possibly four according to Dylan, but three teams. And that is the Heat, the Cavs, the Warriors. Mm. Now, with the Warriors, they thought that they can find a way to get Anthony Davis. Wizards has come out and said, we are not trading Anthony Davis whatsoever. He's going to be a Wizard. So that got nixed. But everything else is still on the table. Joshua, if you're LeBron James,
mm-hmm.
what's the better situation?
Cleveland.
Are you saying that as a fan?
I'm saying that because I want him in Ohio. Same. I want him back.
Okay, but like realistically, for so if you was LeBron
if you want
James,
me to be completely honest.
Yes, please. That's what we asked for on the show.
I don't think any of those three, the top three that you mentioned, are championship type scenarios for LeBron.
Okay.
Like if I'm just being honest, like make some move, do I think that they're going to win? No.
Either one. Like
they can.
The Golden State,
but no.
Cavs or Miami.
Nope. So now it's down to, well, Joshua, what do you want? I'd like for him to come back. Now, what does he want? I don't know. Maybe he wants to screw around with his friends for a year. And by the way, if he does that with the old timers up there, it's going to feel almost like Harlem Globetrotters-esque, right? It's more of a spectacle than it is a team that you're like, I'm going to take them super seriously.
Well, a lot of people say that it will tarnish his legacy because
I don't
he
know
had
how you
beef
tarnish.
With them for four, what, three or four
yeah,
years?
Yeah, and he beat them, and then the time went by, and now he's joining them. It's not like what Kevin Durant did.
What they said is like war. Like, you don't...
No!
It was, though.
Okay, so...
It was.
But okay, all right.
The
so does America right now not have allies that they had been at war with?
Yeah.
Okay, then. So what are we talking about?
Yeah, we're cool with Germany.
Yeah.
Stop it.
Josh. I'm just saying, like, the time has gone by. I don't think it's...
I don't know.
It's not that hyped up anymore to make that
people,
a consideration.
A lot of Cleveland fans say that if he goes to the...
Well, they're looking for reasons. Okay, so I'm not listening to them.
Personally, I don't care. I don't.
These Cleveland people just want to be miserable. You people who like Cleveland sports, you just look for reasons to be miserable, and they give them to you.
Who is
in
us?
Fairness.
Who is us people?
You. all of them.
There is not a single thing LeBron can do to tarnish his legacy. He could go play for the Utah Jazz. It doesn't matter. He's already solidified. He's, at worst, the second best player to play the game. If you have any sense, you know he's the GOAT. It doesn't matter what he does from this point on.
Are you saying that I don't have sense?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm
wow.
saying.
Wow. Your response?
We'll see.
You want to go see him play with your GOAT, Giannis, in Miami?
I don't... That's a little murky. If he... I know he's been working on his three-point shooting. I don't know how necessarily it'll work. I mean, I guess it'd be kind of fun, but I think the funnest for him would be with Golden State.
See, here's the thing with him, and him saying that... essentially that salary doesn't matter in this
cap
makes every you really think
cap
so?
Yeah, I don't see him really trying to sign a mid-level exception for $15 million.
You think he wants more than 15 even?
I mean, think about this. Let's say
that takes the Cavs out of it.
Wait a minute, but let's say this. Let's say he comes to Cleveland and he signs the mid-level exception for $15 million.
I don't even think they have that, but go ahead.
Let's just say they did for $15 million. He will then go out there and play in a game and look at a guy like Sam Merrill that makes more money than him.
It doesn't matter. He makes more in this moment. LeBron's going to look at
Merrell.
LeBron's going to look at the rest of them.
How does that
He's
sound?
He's going to look
Sam
at
Sam Merrill, you know, makes more money than LeBron James.
If he is who I think he is, he would look at him and be like, damn, he's making more money than me. And then go right on his phone and go to whatever rich people bank where you need the security key. So you open up the app, it scans your face, and then it asks you for the key that regenerates every 30 seconds. He's going to type that one in and be like, I don't care. I'm good.
Sam Merrill makes more money than LeBron James.
Here's the thing with LeBron. People have been saying that LeBron should take a pay cut to chase chips for a while, and he hasn't done that. And I think his statement yesterday, or a statement through Rich Paul, where basically it was him saying he's chasing happiness, whatever that means, told me that he'll go ahead and maybe play for the vet minimum. Whatever the minimum you could pay LeBron James, he might be able to do. That's what opens it up to the 29 teams. Like he said, go ahead and get a deal. And I think he's waiting to see what all these contenders do in free agency first, and then he's going to hop on afterwards.
The pursuit of happiness.
I wish he'd just get it. Let's wrap this up by the fourth.
You might see it. I mean, moves are going to start to be made. They already are.
The Cavs losing. Dean Wade is gone, ladies and gentlemen. Dean Wade.
LeBron's not going to come here now because D. Wade isn't here. Not Dwayne Wade.
Dean Wade has left the building. Everybody, listen, Dean Wade said, listen, I've been listening to all you fans for all these years. Blame me for this and that. He went to the Philadelphia 76ers 4 years, $39 million. Today is the day where I just, as a football player, I see some of these contracts. Dean Wade, $39 million.
Yep.
This man, at DB, he'd be one of the highest paid DBs in the league. That's crazy to me.
You don't like that?
No.
I think some people don't understand how NBA players and MLB players make NFL players look like poor folk.
Well, now, they do.
They really do.
53 guys on a roster. You're feeding a lot of mouths.
Right.
We lost Keon Ellis for the Cavs. He gone. 2 years, $18 million to the Nets.
They got
to
get under the luxury tax. I think they should do James Harden dirty and be like, hey, I know we told you that we're going to give you a multi-year deal if you opt out, but we changed our mind. Go play somewhere else.
Oh, that would tickle me. That would be amazing.
They better not do that. They can never, ever do that. Because the one thing is, once you do that, like, that's your...
Yeah, that's your resume. Yeah, that's what people know you for.
Yeah, so like it's gonna mess up
players.
It's gonna mess. By the way, side note: did y'all see yesterday? AB Antonio Brown talking to Malik Beasley.
I would rather not watch either one of them talk.
Listen,
to anybody.
Wait a minute. If you got to take advice, if AB is the one giving you advice, you have truly hit rock bottom. Mm, mm. I saw that yesterday, and I said, "Yeah, it's over with for Malik Beasley. He is through." Although. His is an open and shut case.
You know, Malik Beasley, he owed the barber $30,000.
Yeah. He owed his dentist money?
He owed the dentist $35,000. And he owed the landlord money. And his marketing agency advanced him like $600,000 cash, didn't pay him back, didn't do any marketing appearances, owes them money. This was the easiest thing to sniff out. The guy is broke. He's fixing games.
Well, you know who ain't fixing game? Jeff Shibota, who we gonna talk to? Who we gonna talk to in 2 minutes? This is T-Bone and Tyvus on the Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Some breaking news just into our newsroom. We are seeing a portion of State Route 665 close in both directions. It's just outside of Grove City out there in our southwest corner. So between Harrisburg Pike to passing Gateway Drive westbound, you're just not able to pass by this morning. It's involving a semi-trailer crash, so please plan that alternate route. Also, for our friends on the west side, still expect some lane closures out here after a crash on State Route 29. It's that eastbound direction right near 70. Over by West Jefferson. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your Fan.
T-Bone and Tyvus is sponsored by Capital Ford of Columbus. Find your dream ride and get approved fast at CapitalFordOfColumbus.com. If your kid is complaining about not wanting to go to school, blast the volume on this show. You won't have any more problems. This is T-Bone and Tyvus.
Joining us on the Bryan Heating and Cooling System Fan Guest Hotline, it is Jackets Insider Jeff Shibota. Jeff, you have never been accused of point shaving or throwing games, have you? I kind of introduced you like that.
heard of that on the other side of the segment, and no, I have not, and I'm not good enough to even be in most games, so other than golf, which I'm terrible at.
All right, Jeff, obviously Zach has got Columbus in a bit of a tizzy this morning. What do you have on that? Were you shocked that he used his veto power?
Well, it certainly is. I'm trying to find the right word here, because if you're the Blue Jackets and you're in this unfortunate situation, and, you know, the reporting last night from two very respected NHL reporters, Chris Johnston and Elliot Friedman, that he turned down a trade to Dallas, which, you know, is a team that's won 50 games each of the last three seasons, a place where he could win if that's what he wants to do, and a team that probably could give the Blue Jackets the best return, it sounds like, in the form of Thomas Harley, a young defenseman who was also an Olympian this past year. So that could leave the Jackets in a tough situation. You know, if there's only a place or two that Zach wants to go, it certainly limits the market. It makes it more difficult to make a trade. So I guess we wait and see where this all goes, because it's such an unfortunate situation for both the Blue Jackets and their fans. You've got one of the best players in franchise history that, you know, has not spoken publicly, but, you know, has put the team in a situation where it seems like he wants to go somewhere else, and you had a chance to get probably what you felt was a great return, and now there's just a lot of uncertainty around the situation. So I guess we wait and see where this all goes.
Jeff, you mentioned how unfortunate it is for the fans and for the organization, for Z. Like, this, it feels like a weird situation. Tyvis brought this up where they might not actually get a deal done, and he's going to have to play for Columbus when the season starts. Do you feel like there's any maybe added pressure to try to find a deal that works out for everybody so you don't get to this weird spot where one of the most beloved players in the history of the franchise is now getting heckled by their own fans?
Yeah, and you know, I saw the social media comments last night after the reporting came out, and certainly fans are not thrilled with this whole situation. And so it feels as though if you get into the season and have Zach Werenski on your roster now, it's going to require a lot of smoothing over from a lot of different directions if it were to get to that point. At the same time, if you're the Columbus Blue Jackets, you don't want to trade your best player for what isn't the best return. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to just make this move out of, I don't want to say panic, but make it because you feel like you have to make it. So you just hope it gets figured out here in the next little bit. You know, some of the reporting last night was that things are getting a little, you know, I don't know if the word testy between the sides or maybe from his accent or whatever. You just hope the emotions cool down. And, you know, if this move has to be made, you're able to figure something out here in the near future, because it feels as though, yeah, I mean, it's just not a great situation at the moment. And it's so unfortunate because, you know, Zach has been such a great representative of this franchise and of this city for 10 years, and has done a lot and defended this franchise and put this franchise, you know, on the map at a time where they were struggling and going through a rebuild. And it's just an unfortunate situation for everybody involved. And it just feels like the quicker it can get resolved, the better for all sides.
Jeff, do you think that because they brought Bones back, that led to Zach feeling this way because there's not a lot of stability? Do you think that's the reason why Zach kind of wants out of Columbus?
Well, you know what? It's a great question, and it would be nice, I think, for everybody involved if we had heard from Zach in this whole situation, because the problem now is you have to, without him speaking publicly, which is his right, you know, it's a negotiation, he doesn't have to do this, but everybody is left speculating on his motives as for, you know, why we're in this situation as far as him being on the market. And, you know, if you're a Blue Jackets fan, you have no idea why, you know, we've seen this before with players who, you know, and you see it around sports where players want a new situation, but it's a familiar refrain for Blue Jackets fans. So you're sitting here going, like, what? Why are we in this situation? We just don't know. And, you know, it felt like at the time bringing Rick Bowness back was stability. He came in at the end of last year with a team, you know, that was kind of struggling to find its way on the right track. You know, obviously we all know how things ended, just missing the playoffs and falling out of it with the last 10 games or so. But it felt like there was a real swell of players and fans and everybody involved wanting Rick Bowness to be back. And so we know, you know, he's not going to be the coach for five more years, probably, just because of, you know, where he's at in his career. But it felt like, you know, that was the most stable thing the team could do in that situation. So, again, we're all left guessing for a lot of the motives in this whole thing. But, you know, Rick Bowness has passionately defended this fan base. He's passionately said what he wants to see out of this franchise. And, you know, sure felt like the right guy at the time. And probably, you know, we hope is the right guy going forward.
Jeff, what is the latest when it comes to Kirill Marchenko?
Yeah, that one just kind of slid under the radar a little bit with the Zach stuff. And, you know, the only real reporting we've seen on Kirill Marchenko potentially, you know, not wanting to re-sign when his contract is out. And, well, he's got one more year left, but then the Jackets retain his rights as a restricted free agent. Was the report that came out from the, during the draft from Kevin Weeks as far as him potentially not wanting to re-sign at the end of that. And so that's another thing that the Blue Jackets have to get figured out. You know, I don't, obviously, seems as though they don't want to trade Kirill Marchenko for obvious reasons. Not, he's a fan favorite and, you know, probably the, you know, the best forward on the team, if not him, Adam Fantilli. And there was rumors that there were packages around the draft that people were trying to acquire Kirill Marchenko, and the Jackets didn't bite because, again, he's such an important part of this franchise. And so I guess that's one that also has to get figured out. And maybe, you know, since there hasn't been as much ink spilled on that, you just kind of wait and see and feel it out. I know Don Waddell was supposed to talk to his agent this week. And so that's one that I guess still has to get figured out as well. But we'll see where it all goes because, you know, it, who knows? That's the thing. We're in situations where these things are sort of being negotiated in the media, and we don't know the motivations. We don't know how the players feel. And so it's hard to sit here and say for sure exactly, you know, where everybody's thoughts lie. And, you know, as it stands, the Jackets have Zach Werenski in a 2-year contract and Kirill Marchenko with one more year and his RFA rights. And so, you know, you've got these good players who could fetch a good return if you end up having to trade them. And if you don't, then we'll, you know, you just play it out and see where it goes.
Talking to Jackets insider Jeff Shibota on the Bryan Heating and Cooling System fan guest hotline. Jeff, obviously free agency opens today. I know it's been a lot of talk yes. about Zach and Kirill, but is there any moves that you think that these Jackets team can make in free agency that can, you know, boost up this roster?
Yeah, so it's with so many of these moving parts and trades in the NHL, the free agent market isn't as strong as it may have been in the past. And I think that's a trend you're going to continue seeing in the NHL. So if you're the Blue Jackets, I was looking at it this morning. They've got what appears to be about $25 million in cap space remaining after the acquisition last week of Valeri Nichushkin, who should help the team, you know, quite a bit up front going forward. One of the best defensive forwards in the NHL, who's also a scorer. So that was a big acquisition for the team a week ago. But if you look at that $25 million, you still have to re-sign Adam Fantilli, Jet Greaves, and Cole Sillinger. So, you know, if you add up the math on that, just kind of speculating, that could be about $20 million, depending on where those contracts lie. So that doesn't leave you a ton of flexibility. I think the big thing that they would like to do is probably on the defensive side. You know, they struggled really getting any consistency out of the third pair a season ago. And so adding to the defensive depth, it's probably, if you see a move today, the direction that they would go. It doesn't sound super sexy, but you know, just kind of the situation we're in with the salary cap and then the acquisition of Nichushkin last week. So we will see where it goes. And you know, you still got Boone Jenner and Mason Marchand out there. I said with it not being the best free agent class, those guys are probably going to be pretty prized on the open market. But you know, you never know if the team circles back and tries to figure out a way to keep one of those guys here as well.
All right, Jeff, we'll end you off on a high note here. We got a holiday weekend coming up. What are your plans? You throwing anything on the grill? What's going down?
Yeah, I should throw something on the grill. I know I'm planning to go up to Cleveland for a Guardians game. Maybe hit up the Senior Open and, you know, maybe a little pool time and, you know, hang out and see some fireworks go off and have a beverage or two.
Just make sure that you're not the one setting off those fireworks. We got to keep all 10 fingers.
Keep the digits intact.
Yeah, keep the digits. Keep the digits intact. Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate you as always. Have a great 4th of July.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. When we come back, we'll hit the buzzer with Bo Bishop. This is T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
happening right now. A portion of a London Groport Road is closed right now after a semi overturned. It's all in our southwest corner, just south of Grove City and a little north of Harrisburg. Both directions impacted too. We're talking between Harrisburg Pike to Gateway West Drive. For that workaround, take 71 southbound to that next exit over 62 northbound. That way, get you back going westbound over once again on State Route 665. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan.com.
The Reds are on the Fan's family of stations all season long. If you don't listen, Terry Francona will ride his scooter to your house and yell at you. Your home of the Reds, the Fan, the Fan 2, and the Fan 3.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Accurate Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
One of these men is bald and fat. The other is T-Bone. You're listening to T-Bone and Tybus.
Woo, joining us, our favorite uncle, Uncle Bo. Bo, listen.
Boys,
we made it. I have a new respect for everybody that sits in the one chair. It is.
Well, how's it going?
He's doing a hell of a job.
It's
all right.
Bo, it's a lot, though. Like, you gotta, I can't even be in the chat. I gotta be locked in.
No, you can't be in the chat.
I gotta be locked in for 3 hours. I like to be able to think about other things. But yeah, it's been interesting.
Did you hit all your breaks?
I think I've been on time for all my breaks, actually.
We did a hell of a job.
Listen, I got to get out the way so he could toss it to break. So we in tandem have been doing a hell of a job.
That's a great job.
I had Josh bring it in a couple of times. He even started a couple of segments. It's actually been really good.
I'm not surprised. When you guys were there in 14, you were the two I went to after every game because you were the two that would tell the truth, be candid, have a little bit of humor. Neither one of you guys were robots. You both had a ton of personality. So in 14, the first thing I would do, some people go quarterbacks, I'd go to you two first. You were the first two guys I looked. So it doesn't surprise me that you're able to do this and that the boat has been kept between the navigational beacons for 3 hours.
Well, we still got one more day, so let's not heap on too much pressure.
Let's not crown you yet.
Bo, you know what? I come to you for my fatherly advice. Now, you have three boys that all play lacrosse. Is lacrosse an expensive sport?
I need an NIL fund over here to pay. Yeah, very. Lacrosse, hockey, both men's and women's lacrosse would be. I mean, the helmets are $400. So I mean that's your jumping off point.
So if my kids decide they want to play lacrosse, I should steer them in another direction.
No, as rich as you are, steer them right towards it.
What's
it going to hurt you?
But we've talked about this. But here's the part. I don't think you can pick sports based off of the cost anymore because they all cost so damn much. I mean,
football
basketball
does not cost.
Football might be the one, but you're only playing.
Yes,
football.
It does.
Football does not cost.
You've got your summer where you're doing camps, and then you've got the fall. Like all these other sports, they want you playing the rest of the year.
All right? You need to do
football
is
doesn't cost if you're you two. Football costs for everybody else. I mean, there's pay for play in football all over the state. There's if you're doing the 7-on-7 stuff, if it's any of that stuff where they have helmets, a lot of times you got to buy those. Like
I didn't realize
the training.
I didn't realize
if you just you two and you roll off the assembly line and you're going to the Buckeyes. No, it's probably. I'm guessing there's a lot of never ending boulevards of green lights for talent like yours, but for everybody else, yeah, man.
Bo, I didn't realize that 7-on-7 is the thing now. Like. You get recruited now based off of 7-on-7. Like it used to be just high school tape. It's not.
Yeah, and then you go to camp.
Yeah, you got to go to 7-on-7 camps and stuff like that.
7-on-7's
been
yucky.
That's ridiculous.
I think 7-on-7 has ruined quarterback evaluation.
Yeah.
I think there's some truth to that. Yeah.
There's no pressure. You know, some of these schools are running offensive concepts that don't make sense in an actual game against defenses that don't make sense in an actual game. And you're looking at these guys and like, well, he's got a big arm and he looks pretty good spinning it. It's like, no, he can't play.
Yeah. No, yeah, that you're exactly right. So no pads in 7-on-7. No pass rush in 7-on-7, is there?
No, the thing usually have like a time
one
on
Mississippi
it.
Two.
No, like they used to have a thing where you pick the football up, you get 4 seconds to
that
throw
thing,
it.
Yeah, 4 seconds to throw it. Yeah. Some of NBC's buddies do it. They travel all over hell doing it.
I had no idea that was like the new recruiting thing now. Like that, I just learned this like this past weekend. Like they were like, yeah, you can't even, the high school stuff don't mean nothing. You got to go do 707 and go to these camps and stuff. And I'm like, really?
Yeah, it's changed. And I, you know, I think the lesson for two young fathers like yourselves is what you're going to see is that if there is money to be made, youth sports will find it.
Yeah. That's going to be find it. My next racket. If I ever flame out of this job, bet you you're going to see the Joshua Perry Youth Sports League.
I'm telling you what, right, buddy.
If instead of the South Florida Express,
it's going to be the JEP Express. Go ahead and sign your kiddos up. Hey, Bo, I wanted to ask you about this since we're talking about parenting. I was telling Tyvus about how my mom used to make us for 2 hours an afternoon in the summer. We would read. We had required reading.
Wow, that's awesome.
So we could stay sharp on our skills. Where are your kids at? Because I feel like there's been a generational shift where, you know, things went to digital and then it went to audiobooks. But now it feels like the only thing that kids ever read are like YouTube video descriptions, if anything. Yeah.
They just scroll. They try to scroll all day. That's all they want to do. They just want to go on Instagram or Snap. The oldest is on Instagram, I think, and Snap. The middle is only on Instagram. That's what they want to do. They just want to do that. So you are in an up at dawn siege every day trying to keep it out of their hands. And so it's just activity, activity. Let's go activities. Let's do anything. And they will relentlessly pursue it. They will spend the greater, they'll hide phones. I don't know where my phone is. And it'll be in their room and you won't see them for 45 minutes. You're like, where are they?
These kids are little criminals, man.
They are little criminals. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And it's relentless. It doesn't stop. They just pursue a screen at all costs. And my kids are really active, but man, it's terrifying, really, truly.
Well,
like, how much time?
They don't do, like, we used to look at, you know, Sports Illustrated Kids, yeah. And, like, we used to do that as part of our leisure, right? We'd have magazines.
Physical media.
Yeah, you might even flip through a newspaper. I love the cartoon section. These kids are like, nah, I'm good.
I bought the newspaper just so they could see me reading it, and I still get, like, periodicals. I still get GQ, Esquire.
Oh, me and you are the same.
Forbes, I don't know, Wall Street Journal. I get a handful of stuff that just comes every day. And I do it in part because I still enjoy physical media. And then in part to show them that there is more than just what is on a screen. Now, the screen stuff's pretty good. I mean, as you guys know, it's dopamine. So, like, I mean, it's pretty good stuff. So it takes a lot to combat it. But I've tried. I've tried with that. And I still like physical media. I hope physical media comes back. I hope we get to a point where Sports Illustrated comes once a week because people like touching something that represents the week in sports. I hope some of those things come back.
I think it's boomeranging. I mean, people are on vinyl now, right? Like, those.
Bootsy, vinyls. Bootsy got a record in his room. He's spinning Bruno Mars vinyl.
Unbelievable. I've got Boys to Men. I've got Guy and I've got Jodeci all on vinyl, and ooh. I think the old school media is starting to make its way back.
Good for you.
Gosh. All right, couple of notes of End of the Road. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
But what you got coming up on the show today?
I don't know, man. It's a first Friday. We'll do the best we can. It's pretty amazing. I'll tell you one little teaser for the top of the show. It is pretty remarkable how long LeBron James has been in our life.
Yeah.
And still, like, as newsworthy-ish now as a decade ago and 6 years before that, there just aren't many examples of somebody who's been top of mind for 30 years. And he is. It's pretty wild.
Well, we look forward to hearing that. Make sure y'all tune in to Bishop and Friends. We'll talk to you later, but have a good 4th of July if we don't see you.
You guys too. Proud of you, fellas.
Appreciate you. We'll hit the buzzer. Let's go.
Shove it down your throat.
It's time for the buzzer.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services.
Feeling the heat?
Call the experts at Logan Services now for hot deals on train systems, including 0% APR for 60 months.
So earlier today, we were talking about, somebody asked about fighting. So if we were at the station, who would we fight in a boxing match? Well, it seems like to me, over the last few years, celebrity boxing matches have become quite popular.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, because you find out a lot of people can't fight. But anyways, yesterday, Ray J and Orlando Brown have announced that those two will be fighting in Atlanta August 15th.
Who's watching that?
I know. The funny thing about this is Ray J has said that he only had a couple of months to live.
He was supposed to be other side by now.
This is going to be his second boxing match. The first one didn't go well. He went up against Super Hot Fire and got laid out.
I mean, he didn't look very good afterwards either. And Orlando Brown, I'm pretty sure, was like, allegedly, he was hooked on like hard drugs.
Yeah.
This guy is insane.
I, unfortunately, Dylan, think I have to watch this. Because Ray J got knocked out so bad, and I felt so bad that I missed it, that I missed something, that I need to see what happens in this fight. I actually got my money on Orlando Brown.
I'll catch the highlights on Twitter. I don't need to watch this.
I'll watch. Oh, everybody tune into it. All right, that's going to be the end of us. Thank y'all for being with us today. We'll catch y'all again tomorrow to wrap up the week. This was T-Bone and Tyvus on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
In downtown Columbus, the right shoulder is blocked on 71 southbound, just passing 40, that East Broad Street area for a crash. We also have some slowdowns still developing 71 northbound over by Greenlawn Avenue. And for our friends in Delaware County, just in case you're leaving right now, 23 south, a little bit slower, 22 minutes. It will take you between 36 and 270. I'm 10TV's Brianna Albizu with your fan traffic.